Blog Talk Radio.
Collectively Rewilding is an online forum for learning, sharing, and teaching the skills needed to enhance our experience in the natural world. We're looking for the best mentors, guides, and instructors who can teach a variety of natural skill sets. If you've got something to share, we have the platform to help you make a difference for free. If you are more interested in learning and expanding your abilities in nature, please join us as a member to explore the world of rewilding. Join us at www.collectivelyrewilding.com today.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Global government, the mystery school, Agenda 2030, chemtrails and geoengineering, manufactured disasters.
We live in a time when awareness about current events and big media deception is critical to be prepared for the events that are rapidly descending upon us. This is Russ from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Diana and me every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. as we expose the truth big media keeps lying about.
Herbal medicine, the globalist real agenda, seeing through the propaganda.
Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you there.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike, my birthing partner, and I just got our new Lysnica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysnica Freedom microchip. SNSHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their freedom microchip. I jumped on the Lysnica joint.
This freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee would insert it in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysnica track and trace your every move. You just need a freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysnica Freedom Microchips. They are sweet.
Okay, one more time. This is your foot. This is shoes. This is your foot in shoes.
I can't move.
Any questions?
A little help.
This public service announcement brought to you by Zero Shoes. Feel the freedom, feel the fun, feel the world in Zero Shoes.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireza. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. We'll be right back.
everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for joining us today. Today happens to be Wednesday, so we'll have Joanne Moretti joining us here as usual on Wednesday. If you out there in Radio Land have anything you want to share tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number one on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. By the way, we'll also have a guest next hour. We do have Daphne Lee, a local activist here in Las Vegas, who was in the news recently because, well, she did not vote in the primary, but there was a vote made in her honor, and we will be talking about that. So without further ado, let's bring in Joanne.
Hey, everybody. Hello, Freedomizers. Hi, Proof. Happy Wednesday to you all. Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Daphne. I've been reading about quite a few people whose names were used over and over again, too. People voting in
there. Yes, Daphne, I've known, I believe, since 2008 when we both volunteered for Ron Paul, if I remember right.
Yeah, I'm glad that she can give firsthand testimony. I can't wait till she comes on. So how was your week?
Uneventful so far, I guess.
Uneventful? That's good. That's good. Sometimes uneventful is really good. Man, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Especially about this border thing. Because I was remembering some things about the Chinese. Mind if I talk about that for a second?
Oh, I was hoping that would be our first topic, actually.
Oh, good, because they got 33,000 Chinese people have come across the border. So I want to talk about that for a second. Remember, China had a one-child policy. And most families, when they would have a child, they chose to keep the male child. Because, you know, when they get older, the male can support them and take care of them when they're elderly. So baby girls were left on the sides of mountains. They were given up for adoption. I remember when I was young, I went to parochial school, and they had a drive. They were collecting change to get these, adopt these babies out. So a lot of Chinese girls got adopted out. But now the result of that is China has 10 million too many men. They call them broken branches. Now, these men are never going to get married, never have children, because there aren't enough women in China. So China can get rid of 10 million men and not even blink, because they're not going to, you know, reproduce families and stuff. So that's a big army. Now, if they train these men and they send them over here, which it seems to be that's what they're doing, 33,000 is already a good size amount of soldiers here. They're military-age men, single men. So, you know, they own a lot of property here. They own a lot of businesses here. They have a lot of financial interests here. They have secret police stations here. Those are most of what we should be concerned about. Now, it's nothing against the Chinese people. They're wonderful people. You've known Chinese people all your life. You go to Chinese restaurants. And you'll notice that, you know, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, it's mostly Chinese women there, the waitresses and the maitre d', all of that. You'll find some Chinese men there, maybe the owner and some people in the kitchen. But mostly it's women that you'll find there. So these Chinese men have a better chance of finding a Chinese wife here than they do over there, which is a big draw. And now that screwball Mayor Adams is offering people $10,000 each. He's crying he's broke. He's crying he has no place for these people. He's crying he needs more money from Biden. And then he's going to give out 10 grand each. And if when you're asking, I see all the videos of the reporters saying, you know, where are you from, where are you from? And then they asked them where they're going. Most of them say New York. Now, if you were giving me $10,000, I'd be going to New York too. Where are they getting this money? And what are we going to do about these people? Laura Loom, no, is it Laura Luma? Yeah, she's over in the Darien Gap. And she's doing reporting from there. So she is sending back messages about all these NGOs. Remember we said it's not some illiterate drug cartel member, some gang member, going around the world recruiting all these illegals? No, they're shipping them in by plane, by boat, by bus. The Mexican cartels aren't doing that. They're the last leg of the journey. But this is taking whole governments, mostly our own. And they, just like the Bidens, you know, they set up 10, 15, 20 shell companies, all these little offshoot NGOs. So you got, all right, we'll take Catholic Charities, for instance. Now, the Catholic Charities, they are supporting like 60 different NGOs that are along the way in that border. Our base that we had in Panama, that's a whole logistics center, and it's mostly being run by China. They are providing buses. They're providing clothes and shelter and, you know, things that people need along the way, supplies. And then they're just moving them out. This is human trafficking at its biggest. We've never seen anything like this. And everybody's freaking out about Biden. You know, he's saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, you couldn't, our system's broken, you couldn't pass this, you couldn't pass that. In January of 21, when he first took ownership of the job, he signed a whole bunch of executive orders reversing everything that Trump had put in place. Now the word is he's going to come up with some magic executive order that he's going to fix the border now. So we've been telling people right along that he's always had the authority to do this. Now he's going to do it. So don't you think that this makes him look even worse, like a scoundrel? They're panicking. You know, his numbers are in the toilet. And people are not giving to his campaign. So now he's going to come up with an executive order? Yeah, of course, it's an election year. So what do you think about that broken branches thing? You think that we should be mostly concerned with them? Although you got people from Afghanistan now fleeing the Taliban. They were on camera today, too.
I was wanting to ask exactly, what was he doing in California?
Who? Oh, Biden? He's got some high-dollar fundraising going on there. They're not letting the media in. It's private. It's funny, he can run around the country and go to these private soirees, and there's money involved. It's all money, money, money.
Well, that's all that we donate to him right now, because the 99% have no interest in him.
No. I think a lot of people are holding back because they're not sure he's going to be the nominee. And I'm not going to count Michelle out because they're trying to sweeten the pot with her. They're all over her. And Newsom, can you imagine if they bypass Kamala Harris for Newsom? They don't want Kamala. But how many of their base will vote for Newsom? You know, if Kamala Harris isn't top of that ticket. I don't know.
So
then you got Nikki Haley.
Oh, that's funny. But that's part of what, that's part of the Nikki Haley thing with these votes.
Mm-hmm.
From what I was skip tracing earlier today, and I can confirm with Daphne that none of the above.
Yeah.
That those Nikki Haley votes might have been those fake votes, actually. I don't think the none of the above were voting with fake ballots. I think those were the Nikki Haley's.
Oh. Well, that makes it even worse for us.
So none of the above could have gotten even more. I think they're trying to drag Nikki along, hoping that somehow she'll catch on.
Well, she thinks that she's going to be last man standing. Vivek came out with a thing today over on Twitter. He said that Nikki got no delegates in Nevada. She didn't even try. She's not getting any in South Carolina. I think that's a winner take all. He says the donor money's still flowing, though. He said that the game is hiding in plain sight. He's hoping that Biden's lawfare eliminates Trump, so they'll backdoor Nikki in. Or no labels will try to steal votes from Trump by using her as their candidate. They might be trying to woo her, too. But she came out and said, I'm not leaving this, even if I lose South Carolina. So this chick's going to lose 49 states, and she's still not, I mean,
though, Joanne, my question is, at what point, if she's eliminated, will she still continue even if she's eliminated? Because if Trump gets the magic number for the primary, then that's it.
Yeah, but she won't even suspend her candidacy. She'll just say that she's still an active candidate and wait for the convention. Because it's not in stone until those delegates are actually awarded and he becomes the nominee. You know, they can pull sleight of hand at that convention. And if you see the way half of them are acting, you know, they should be out there. By now, she should be out of the race. I mean, her chance of winning is none. And if you notice, Vivek and DeSantis and the rest of them, they only suspended their campaign. They didn't end their campaign or quit or drop out.
Yeah.
They suspended it. So they're still actively in the race should that come up. So does she think that she would beat out Tim Scott or Ron DeSantis if Trump were eliminated?
Well, I'll tell you right now, and you probably know this, that if Trump was out, Vivek's in, and Vivek wins hands down over anybody else up there.
Yeah. That's true. If it's not Trump, it'll be Vivek.
That's my point.
Yeah, it definitely won't be Nikki Haley. She's just, you know, they know she's a globalist.
Unlikable.
They know that. Yeah, they know that. And she talks with such a clenched jaw. She's always acting like she's seething mad at us. And really, you mad, lady?
And that's what pissed me off with a certain Clinton that'll remain nameless, is that why I can't stand that particular pronoun. Just it's like she's the younger version of that.
Yes. You know, Hillary's making her move, too. She's making herself quite. You see, she got
I don't think that pronoun is going to run for office. I think that one wants to run behind the scenes and control somebody.
Oh, yeah. Well,
at some point when you know you're not likable, but you could be, let me put it this way. Once you have musicians, say Robbie Neville, who did that song C'est la vie like 35 years ago.
Right.
Once he was no longer a brand name on the pop charts, he switches over to songwriting and producing, and then he produces a bunch of other hits. That's where that one's going.
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. Yeah, there's just no reason for her to be there. But like I said, Hillary's making a move.
If she was gaining any traction, I would understand. But literally, possibly the other than Chris Christie, the most unlikable candidate.
Absolutely. And she's just continuing with his platform. Her whole thing is bashing Trump. Don't you think she should bash, like, Biden once in a while or Democrats once in a while? And this South Carolina primary.
But didn't Nikki Haley say at the end it's going to be her versus Kamala?
Yeah. A woman's going to be president and it'll either be her or Kamala. So is she working with, like, Brennan and Clapper and that whole crew? Steal the election.
That doesn't shock me.
And then she's got all these small donations. You know those are coming from Act Blue on those credit cards. Right. How many stories did we do about that, Michael Kieschnick and his Credo credit cards and their untraceable, the gift cards? That's where her money's coming from. So there's lots going on behind the scenes there. And Trump's just, you know, Trump, that thing, that New York thing was just blew me away, $385 million plus $187,000 a day in interest.
Oh, and Letitia James is out there talking about, oh, yeah, he's going to be paying me real soon.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to see
his property. Usually when you go for an appeal, you don't pay for it and then get the money back. That would be on
right?
the 33rd of February that happens.
Really, that's like fighting for ownership of your house. And you got to sell the house to pay for the appeal.
Yeah.
So what's the sense of fighting? And, you know, that'll cost him money because to put up bond, even if you put up a bond, it's 10%, right? So that's $400 million, $40 million. And he'll lose that. You don't get that back. So this is going to cost him millions and millions of dollars. One way or another. And did you hear that Kathy Hochul, the governor? She come out and admitted, because of the businesses are all threatening to leave now, right? Especially the financial sector business.
Well, yeah. She's out there saying, don't worry, big businesses. You could stay. We just want Trump out. This is only
for
Trump.
Yeah, we just want Trump. But then she knew she screwed up. So she made it worse. She come out again. And she was congratulating Letitia James, and she said, yeah, and that proves that the world of law works and nobody's above the law, whether you're a billionaire like Trump or just an ordinary person. And right there, she walked it back, or just an ordinary person. Well, if I was just an ordinary person in New York, I'd be looking for a way to get out of there. Because she told us, oh, no,
so what's
going to
happen when
Trump.
These truckers refuse to deliver loads to New York?
I'd be afraid to deliver. If you don't get robbed and you actually make it to your delivery place, who knows if you're going to be able to do business in New York again. If you don't agree with their politics, then you're persona non grata, and they're going to take your business. They're going to take your ability to do business. They're going to take every cent you have. They saw his taxes. They know how much cash on hand he's got. Funny, it was the same amount that they asked for. So they're going to take all his cash. And then start taking his businesses. And what, are they going to have a fire sale with the Trump Tower?
Where in Manhattan are they going to start putting up factories to build stuff?
Nowhere. We're in New York, period. Why would anybody take a risk like that to do business in New York?
Well, I'm just saying that you get the red, you get the liberals there in Manhattan that don't. I saw something on TikTok. I should still have the clip, but people don't even realize that the food, they think food comes from the store. They don't know that you can grow it.
Yeah, well. They can't grow enough in the city, that's for sure. There's no place to plant. You might have a window box or a little balcony. But, yeah, food doesn't grow in the city. You have to get that from outside the city. So they're real snotty right now. And screw those truck drivers and all of that. Screw those farmers. Because they know nothing about farming. They know nothing about truck driving. They know how to hustle and bustle. But they couldn't plant a tomato seed and actually have the tomato plant grow. They couldn't plant enough food to sustain themselves. And once the deliveries stop, the groceries run out. There's no time to grow groceries. If you should be planting next year's dinner right now.
Yeah, I believe in the growing season for Manhattan, I think that's early March, so they better learn. They got like a 2 to 3 week window where they can learn and get stuff ready.
Yeah, they better start getting their cider plants out, and they better start getting buckets of dirt and all their necessary.
I don't know where they're going to put them in their apartments, but they better find some grow lights.
Well, they better get out of there. I'm telling you, businesses, they got to get out of there.
Oh, no, those liberals better stay there. Those liberals
that's
need to all move to New York.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is they'll take their voting habits with them when they leave because they don't realize
how it got.
That's
why we need them quarantined.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to continue voting for liberals and Democrats, then don't leave. Stay there.
Right.
No one needs you. We don't need that. We don't need that kind of stuff around here. You know, when you flee that state, leave those voting habits behind, or don't leave.
One of the funniest arguments I ever heard was some liberal called in, like in 2011 or something, Joanne. And
yeah.
I was talking about how the property taxes have gone up under Barry Satoro. And this liberal calls in and says, I'm not worried about property taxes. I rent an apartment. That doesn't affect me.
That's a dumb person right there.
Oh, I know it is.
It's going to affect your landlord, who's going to go up on your rent, dumbass. It's going to affect you more than it'll affect the homeowner.
Yeah. That's why the rule is, if a globalist or a one percenter has their taxes raised 10% because they own a business, then the prices go up 15% to cover that and any other additional taxes that come up. And
right.
If not, then they make an extra 5%.
Exactly.
But they
People
don't
understand
that.
They don't understand cause and effect. They don't understand unintended consequence either. They just think, okay, I don't care if my landlord is charged more. Not my business. Yeah, it is when he's got to charge you more. You know, you're in business. You're not St. Francis. It's not a charity. If you're not making a profit, you go out of business. There's no sense in being
right.
in business. You go to work every day. You open your store every day to break even or to lose money. No. That's not how it works. And putting all these restrictions on these businesses and then going after the whole thing. I mean, I could...
But the thing is, if they're trying to say that Trump lied on his application with the bank, the bank is not getting in trouble for this either, right?
Right. No, the banks are not in trouble. The title companies are not in trouble. And the banks actually said not only do we not have a problem with Mr. Trump, we'd do business with him again. And
yeah, so who was affected other than Letitia James?
Well, they think people are stupid. And obviously, the judge is stupid, and Letitia James is stupid, or this is such a setup that they are trying to pull one over on everybody. If you take out a loan and you put up collateral, they don't just take your word for it. They want to see this collateral. They want to see the paperwork on the collateral. They have to investigate it themselves. They have a fiduciary obligations to their stockholders. So they have to make sure that if you say, I have $100 in collateral, the collateral you're showing them is worth $100. So they have people check that. And Trump didn't write all those proposals for loans and stuff himself. He's got people for that. He has accountants up the wazoo. They wrote that. And they didn't even need the money, but they were keeping the credit active. But when they do need the money, they paid it back on time, never missed a payment, never were late. The bank was satisfied with the collateral. The title company, which also had to do their own diligence, they were satisfied with the amount of the collateral. Everybody was happy except the judge and Letitia. Everybody made money, and the loans were paid back. There is no victim. And what business
I'm still trying
does
to
the
understand,
government
Joanne,
have in private contracts
I have a legitimate
anyhow.
Question that I cannot find the answer for.
What?
How is it that a judge in New York gets to decide what the value is of a property in Florida?
I had asked that question, and because the loan was taken out in New York and was used in New York because he was, you know, he used the collateral in Florida as a bundle of other properties too. And he said, okay, I got this much, and some's here, and some's there, and some's there. But I'm going to be building this in New York. So when I borrow this money, it's going to be used to build in New York. So he had to have permits, New York permits for this building. He had to, you know, go to, the money was loaned while he was a resident of New York. So they figure they have jurisdiction over him. And where it was a bundle collateral, they think that they have jurisdiction over that. Even though the property, that one of the pieces of the collateral was in Florida. A couple of pieces were in Florida. And a bunch of them were in New York. He said, you know, I own this and this and this and this and this hotel here and this golf club there. And, you know, I just need a couple of $1 million and I'm going to do the work in New York and fix this up. And, yeah, here's your money back. Thanks for the loan. But the government has no business in private contracts where no, there's no complainant, there is no victim, there is nobody was harmed. And where does this exorbitant fine go? Who gets the money? The state of New York? They weren't harmed at all. They actually made money too. They got their taxes out of it. And obviously, the judge didn't do his due diligence because they should have sent an appraiser down to Mar-a-Lago and gotten a private appraiser. No.
Right.
No, the judge just assigned what he felt was a value without anybody going to check on it.
Yeah, they didn't even question how much the empty lot next, right down the street from Mar-a-Lago was worth.
No.
This
they
is
don't
the
know
only
anything about...
the only time in America where an empty lot in the middle, basically landlocked, is worth more as a tenth of the size of Mar-a-Lago that has no water around it, and it's worth three times more than what the judge in New York says Mar-a-Lago's worth.
Right, one of the villas at Mar-a-Lago is worth more than $18 million.
Right.
And that's just a shed on the property in comparison to the main buildings. The guy has no idea of the value of property.
No, his job and Letitia James' job, just like the book, get Trump. So whatever
exactly
they could do to get him, then that's what they'll do. And it doesn't matter what the charge is for. It doesn't matter how much it is. How egregious it is, we have to dirty him up.
Well, I guess that the part of the appeal will be the Eighth Amendment to cruel and unusual punishment and, you know, excessive stealing your property and all that. But that would make it a federal appeal. It would take it away from New York, and it may be able to get all the way to the Supreme Court. Because this is truly a violation. And you know they can't make a law.
Let me ask you this then, Joanne. So what happens if this gets kicked upstairs and a judge says, well, I think it's worth $200 million. It's not the $18 million, but it's not the $400 million that they were, or whatever it was that they're claiming. So if they choose a different amount than what was stated on the bank loan, then is he automatically guilty?
No. No, he could appeal that again, too. You know, it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court. And it's not just for him. You know, they said that law was just for him. So right there is a violation that,
right,
you know, Congress
That's
will make
cruel,
no law.
That's the cruel, unusual punishment.
Yeah. But they're not to make laws that attack any person, place, class of people either.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be for everyone, one for all and all for one. You can't just use the law selectively. You can't make a law for one citizen. That has to be for all the citizens.
Well, Governor Hochul thinks you can.
Yeah, but she walked that back. She said, or an ordinary person, at the end of her retraction.
Yeah.
When she was saying about, oh, no, other businesses don't have to worry. This, you know, this was just about Trump. Right there is grounds for appeal. That was a setup. It's all been a setup. They had to change the statute of limitations for two things, the one, the E. Jean Carroll, and for this thing. They only did it for 1 year. The law's changed back now. So they just had to create a window to go after Trump. And anybody in their right mind should be able to see it. I don't care how liberal you are, how leftist you are, how Democrat, how Republican, or whatever. Use your eyes and ears and brain. And then apply it to yourself. Because if you think because you're a Democrat that you're going to be spared, they don't care about that. All you are is a vessel, a tool, for them to get their own way. And once they're done using you, you're going to be in the same boat as the people you thought you were above, the people you were applauding. You know, you might hate Trump now, but Trump is just the first. He's not the only. And this is going to affect every one of us. Your property will not be safe. You know, they were just canceling people on social media. Now they got a whole new level of pain if they get away with this.
And wait until the CBDCs kick in. Then all this appeal stuff is going to be out the window.
Yeah.
There won't be any time for appeals. Yeah, in a year and a half, if these people wanted to go after Trump, they could just shut his bank account down right then. And don't like it, then you'll just have to wait it out and fight later.
Yeah, just lock him out until he either wins or loses in court. Either way, he's locked out, right?
Yeah.
And that will happen to everyone. If they don't like the way you act, they'll just cancel your ability to do commerce of any kind. You better learn how to grow plants, too.
Yeah, you won't these be able people to don't buy see the or forest sell anything. For the trees, so... That's how it works.
Yeah, well, they're all happy because they think they got Trump. They got God, too. These people are
not interested. Yeah, but after all this, though, Joanne, they would still vote Brandon again over Trump. They would still vote Hochul. They would still vote Eric Adams after all this. And they don't care one iota.
Yeah. And then they'll cry about the illegals, and they'll cry about the money, and they'll cry about the filth. Well, doing the same thing over and over again, voting for the same people. And they'll tell you, well, no, this was a different Democrat. It wasn't the same Democrat.
Yeah, but our congressperson, Gillibrand, only had 8 terms, so the 9th one will be the charm.
Yeah. Yeah, she'll come around then. No, they won't. Schumer. He's been there 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's going to do it this time, though. He promised. He's been promising for the last 30 years. And look what it's got in New York.
Nadler, all them, yeah.
Yeah. And that screwball Ocasio-Cortez, what's she done for the Jenny from the block? What's she done for the block? Other than fill it with illegals.
Well, she provides entertainment, I guess, so... So maybe she's just a low-income provider, I suppose.
Yeah, well, she used to be cute, so, you know, people were swooning over, but she's not cute anymore. You know, that her shtick got old. So now she's just
a kid. Not old enough to lose an election, though.
No, because they think they got to vote Democrat because they're from New York.
Yeah.
Well, keep voting Democrat. You do that.
I just hope these billionaires that, like Kevin O'Leary, are serious about not doing business or going to New York anymore. And I hope these truckers have zero interest in ever doing business there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I hope it's serious.
Yeah.
I hope
they do
New York what the truckers did to Canada last year or 2 years, whenever
it
was 2 years ago.
A lot of pull. truckers have a lot of pull. You know, they got to feed their families too, but they got, they have integrity, and they stick together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they make it so difficult for us to stick together. Look at this January 6th baloney. You know, and any time two or three of us meet, it's an insurrection. People didn't insurrect anything. Anybody who says uses the word insurrection for that is an idiot.
Insurrection with no weapons.
Yeah, no weapons. No violence, no fires, no damaging the property, nothing. You know, the most they got is trespassing and failure to obey
a
lawful order.
Yeah, somebody crapped on a desk. That I might do something with that, but then
yeah,
you're giving
I don't
people
know if that's
27
true.
Years for what, not even being in the city.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I want to see the video on that because I don't think that's true. If you look at the crowd that was there, if somebody crapped on a desk, I'm telling you, it wasn't a Trump supporter. It was probably one of those feds that they had crawling all over the place. They didn't let the National Guard in because that never would have happened.
I'm willing to do the benefit of the doubt on that one. That's the only one I'm willing to even give the benefit of the doubt
on. Yeah, well, I don't think that's appropriate, and I don't go along with that. So I agree with you there. If somebody crapped on a desk, then they ought to get their ass kicked. You don't crap on our stuff. That's the people's house. Who the hell do you think you are? But
well, let me do this,
most of the people stayed inside the ropes.
We have our guest coming up in about 10, 12 minutes. I want to get Broccoli Man out of the way real quick so that we don't have to stop for it later.
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Let me know when you're ready. I sent it to you.
Okay. Yeah, it's playing a commercial. 3, 2, 1.
So this one is called Ready to Remove Brandon, and you have the millennials in here.
All right, I'm ready when you are.
All right, so all these videos can be found on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man. There are hundreds of episodes. Please check it out. This one's called Ready to Remove Brandon. Countdown is on. 3, 2, 1.
Action. I am so done with Brandon. He is too white for me, and Ems is too old. It was pretty funny when he got off the stage and he was shaking hands with the ear.
I hate when he tells people to vote for Trump if they ask him a question. Maybe we want to vote for someone who is black.
I hope them is going to let Kamala Harris be as the first black lady to be president. I hope they'll let Michael Robinson Obama be president. We need to have the first trans person to be our president.
Michael Robertson Obama is such a nice lady.
I heard all those something dark airs coming in from the Mexico border. Thems are now being put on city councils so thems can make more illegals to get legal status.
That is totally fair. We need to remove white people from society. Thems are too racist.
I know, right? I am so glad as black people are finally able to take over America.
I was so happy that Trump got sued by Letitia James for $351 million. Hems lied and said his Mar-a-Lago property was worth $400 million. But the judge said it was only worth $18 million. He should be arrested also for the fraud.
Trump should be arrested just for breathing. I hate everyone that thinks it is a good idea to vote for him.
I think everyone who is not black should be arrested and placed in FEMA camps. It is too bad FEMA camps do not exist.
Oh no, it's that racist Broccoli dude. He don't understand our race. This something ducker just rips and suck. He is just upset that my birthing partner is trying to get me pregnant. No cap.
I want to punch Hems and Hems ballsack for being too white and not being LGBTQPHS+.
I heard that proof negative said Michael Robinson Obama should get arrested for mail fraud. It was not Bay's fault when Big Mike's junk was slushing that one time on the Ellen show. I hate when that happens to me.
This Green Jones is too racist to vote for Michael Robinson Obama. Dems will only vote for white people.
Actually, I am supporting Vivek Ramaswamy and Tim Scott. Neither of them are white. But what is important is they support our constitution.
Bleepy bigot. Them by snitches ain't even black.
Stats Malik. Them's ain't even black. They like Trump, so they ain't even black.
Please. Tell me how that works. Your skin color changes if you vote for a certain person? Is that how Michael Jackson changed skin color?
You need to take that back right now as also put a scam on that face.
That's why I hate white peoples. They have to put race into everything. Not like us black people who are oppressed always by them.
Yeah. We would all be a lot better off if we separated peoples by skin color. This dude is probably thinking about how he can arrest us for talking on black.
Hey Mike. You know we can all see you, right? You are as white as Joe Biden.
Hey something bucker. You take that back right now and you best put a scam on that face. I'm tired of this Green Jens arresting me for showing my junk to the kids.
Malik, there is one way you cannot get arrested for showing children your junk. Stop showing kids your junk.
That was very generous of you. How would you like it if I glued my ball sack to the McGMO drive-thru again and protested climate change?
Yeah, and I'm going to take a whiz on an electric fence to protest the National Guard doing border patrol.
Oh please. You guys do ahead and do that. Have fun with that.
If you were a good human being, you would listen to all the globalists and eat Z-Bugs. You would also own nothing.
Yeah. That's why Brandon made it legal to sleep in a tent on the street. So he does not own anything.
I am still allowed to have an apartment. Because I is black.
Yeah. We makes a lot of fat stacks because we get a black people's stipend.
At least I get a stipend for leasing a trans.
Mike, the people in the back want to know why if you are black, you do not qualify for a stipend for black people. Was there something wrong? What stops you from making all that money?
Listen here, you racist fool. You needs to shut up that face.
That's why I does not let Mike or any white peoples in my whip. I never let any white peoples in my car because white people's bees is too racist. And because I is black, I can go into any store I want and just walk out with anything that is less than $1,200. I need my four-finger discount.
You don't believe how much I stole at China March yesterday. Even though I make $5 million a year from the black stipend, I ain't finna waste my monies on buying stuffs. If the law says I can steal ish, then I am finna steal all the ish.
Malik, when you steal all the ish, it makes my ovaries get ready to make my eggs swim. Can you please run out to my purse and help me get pregnant?
I would rather do it right on the side of the 405 freeway in rush hour traffic. It is legal as long as we are trans.
Sammy Willis should not be in trouble for cheating on her mans and then taking money from Brandon to arrest Trump. Thems are just going after Fanny Willis for being black.
I am so happy that a California Democrat wants to change the minimum wage to $50 an hour. Just think of how many things people can afford.
Yeah. All these young kids flipping burgers and then going out to buy the Lambo.
You do realize that if wages go up 5 times in value, the cost of living will also go up? It might even go up 6 or 7 times because everyone else will know you are making money. Also, lots of businesses would close because that minimum wage would mean less employees. Or sometimes no employees.
Then if they do not want to pay, they should shut down. It is only fair that these businesses pay their employees.
That is why Go gets a four-finger discount. Anyone that owns a company should pay their fair share. I get mine fair and square because I is black.
If you ain't work, we will make you go broke. That's right, Malik. I can't wait to go home and make some cash money by doing a webcam on OnlyTrans.
Hey everyone. I do hope you are making sure you, your friends, and your family is not going woke. It is liberal policies that fail countries. Educate yourself. Please check out the Proof Negative radio show. Proof is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to know about. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. You can also go to the schedule on freedomizerradio.com and check out the other freedomists sharing lots of truth. freedomizerradio.com.
I would never go to freedomizerradio.com and definitely never ever go to the Proof Negative radio show. He thinks there are only two genders and only females can get pregnant. He also does not support Democrat policies and is against microchips and the New World Order. He even thinks Florida is bad for you and that communism sucks.
That was good, Bruce. Yeah, that was a good one. Put a lot of stuff in there.
I try.
Yeah, you do a good job on those. I like Broccoli Man.
Yeah. So, oh, man, now we know how Michael Jackson changed skin color.
Right.
So with that, though, just real quick, our guest is ready to come on, but they are serious about trying to do a $50 an hour minimum wage so that people can afford to buy stuff. That's what a Democrat congressman wants to do.
Well, they don't realize cause and effect. You have a $50 an hour minimum wage, then you're going to have to charge $50 for a burger if you got a burger joint. Who's going to pay $50 for a burger? And how long are you going to have that place? You know, the guy there on Broccoli Man said if they can't afford to pay $50 an hour, they should shut down. Well, how does shutting down businesses create jobs? They don't think.
Especially when they don't know how to grow their own food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you keep shutting down jobs and nobody's going to be making money. And you'll have, you know, no wage, $0 an hour.
People yeah, but you'll get your universal basic income, though.
From who? If you're closing down all the businesses, people aren't going to be paying taxes. How are they going to pay taxes?
Hey, I'm not a liberal, so I don't know. I don't know the math on that.
Yeah, everything runs on people working. If you're not working, nothing runs. You don't have any money. Little New York finds out.
Yeah, well, they're getting $10,000 a month for being an illegal in New York, so I guess that works. So let me go ahead and bring my guest in here.
Okay.
Daphne and I go way back. I believe we met in 2008 when we volunteered for the Ron Paul campaign. And she used to come to our Freedomizer conferences when we had them here. And it's always a pleasure to talk to Daphne. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi,
welcome
nice
in,
to
Daphne.
Be here with you. Hello.
Hello, thank you for coming in.
So, yeah, I don't know how we didn't talk sooner, and I saw your name in the InfoWars story, and I'm like, wait, why haven't I talked to Daphne? So
I
apologize for falling off the map.
No, it's fine. I mean, look, life's been crazy, so we all are just trying to get by. But it's nice to reconnect. It's been a minute since we've been, you know, talking.
Yeah, so talk to us here. You had no intention of voting for the primary. Were you wanting to go to the caucus too, or instead, or just not do a thing?
I mean, honestly, this is the first time since I turned 18 that I didn't vote. I mean, to me, the primary, you know, obviously was a waste of time. And then you had the caucus. And I just was feeling very lukewarm about the whole situation, so I just stayed home. But then my girlfriend posted that she went and checked on the Secretary of State's website because she was curious about what her ballot status was, and it came up that her mail-in vote ballot had been counted, and so she was encouraging us all to check. So then I'm, like, you know, messaging all of my groups, like, hey, everyone, check your stuff, and I put a Facebook post up. And everyone was coming back with, like, these really strange anomalies. Yeah, me too, me too, me too, me too. So one of my good friends, Sean Meehan from up north, was like, all of you guys should write the media and your legislators and the Secretary of State and the Department of Elections and complain, because this is not okay. And I completely agreed with him, so I did. You know, it took me a whole 5 minutes. And then I was surprised. I only got one response back, even though I emailed my legislators too, which is, like, really terrible that you can't even respond to your, you know, constituent. But so the girl from RJ, she wrote me back and she was like, hey, do you mind if I call you? And I was like, no, not at all. So she called me and we talked for like 10 minutes. But I explained to her as well. I mean, the quote that she put in there was, like, really weak because we had a decent conversation about it all. But, you know, there's a lot of problems. It's not just that our voter registration history is messed up on the website. You know, my husband was also flagged that he had voted by mail in 2020. Well, he did not. Or my friend who moved to New Mexico 2 years ago got two ballots mailed to him in New Mexico. And he also, when he checked, has also had his mail-in ballot counted. You know, there's windows on the envelopes when you get your mail-in ballot that have, you know, either a blue or a red dot that you can see from the outside. So it clearly shows whoever's handling ballots, this is a Democratic ballot or this is a Republican ballot, by the little window with the code, with the color code. Why is that? You know, and obviously, I'm sure all of your listeners and you are completely aware of the mess that we have witnessed in the last two major elections here in Nevada. I've been here my whole life. And the last two major elections, you know, we're all sitting around being made fun of and memes across the world because we can't even figure out what our vote tally is for like a week. And that's not acceptable. And that doesn't leave anybody in the electorate feeling comfortable that, I mean, I remember the last election, my girlfriend who had formerly been a Democrat and she had switched to Republican, and she convinced her 47-year-old boyfriend to vote for the first time in his entire life. And so he did. He voted, you know, and then he felt like his vote was completely wasted because of all the shenanigans. Nobody feels comfortable with these mail-in ballots. And there was a reason why they were illegal. And there's a reason why ballot harvesting was illegal. And there's a reason why the Democratic legislature and scummy Steve Sisolak made it legal. I mean, you know, and so now we're all just living in this weird banana republic post-COVID trauma event, watching it all burn. And it's like, do we even bother voting? Like, I just feel like at this point I'm, like, following in the steps of all of my, you know, libertarian friends who eventually make it down to the end of the road where you're like, I'm just an anarchist and I don't care anymore and I'm opting out of the whole system because it's a joke. None of this means anything.
I'll give my professional opinion on that, Daphne. Joanne, if you want to co-sign with me, that's fine. But the way I look at it, and from what it's been explained to be, and Mike Lindell went into this when he did that press conference a few years back, that if the election is close, they could steal it. And there's up to 15% that if it's over 15%, then there's too many to they can't steal it. So If it's close, they can take it. If it's a blowout, they won't be able. They don't have enough bullets. So
that's interesting.
While I believe that that it's like the Democrats have a head start, but with this economy and this president, I believe that you have to vote in the 2024, because I think there's a potential for a blowout, and if a lot of people stay home, Trump will win, but can he win with the cheating, or does he lose because he only won by 7 points, so they'll win by 14?
I mean, you know, if that's the situation, then yeah, I mean, you know, we will probably vote for Trump. But I also feel
Joanne,
like...
So, Joanne, do you want to co-sign with me on that, or do you have your own thought?
Well, I want to co-sign on that. We have to do something. You know, Daphne, you got to get in touch with probably True the Vote. I think that would be who you should call first, because they're the ones that are all over it. And they might be able to... Yeah, I really think you should get Catherine Engelbart. Engelbright is her name.
Right.
But
I would also say, if you can get a hold of Tom Renz is on my Facebook as well. I hear him on a lot of interviews.
I'd be curious to see if, you know, I mean, and I called the RJ reporter out a little bit, in the sense that they had already kind of run a story when, by the time I talked to her at like 10 o'clock in the morning, that like, oh, we're addressing it. It's a software glitch and all this and that, and we're implementing
it. It's always
the software
glitch that can't be fixed.
I mean,
just,
I knew they were going to say
like
that right
Carrie
before
Lake
they
with
said
the 19-inch ballots.
Oh, it's a software glitch. Nothing to worry about. It doesn't affect the election. Mm-hmm. And I told the reporter, I'm like, they're gaslighting us. If you guys
are
admitting to the press, like, oh, we didn't even know this was a problem until this morning, Monday morning, and then you're putting out a press release saying, but don't worry, it has nothing to do with the election outcomes. And mind you, I acknowledge that the primary here, like, it's not even a consequential election to fuss about. But I'm
yeah,
like,
but it's
you
the
have
fact
to,
that they had the audacity to do that.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
not a glitch. A computer has to be programmed. A computer only knows what the programmer tells it to know. It doesn't
make glitches.
Yeah, they're
sitting
glitches.
Around pointing fingers right now. Oh, it was the county. Oh, it was the software. Oh, I mean, we'll see, like, what the end excuse is. I'm not sure. I mean,
yeah, well, tell
them
you're
like,
not an idiot. Tell them you're not an idiot. The computer has to be programmed to make that type of a switch. There's no way
right.
it does it on its own. They are not independent
thinkers. But here's the thing, though, with that, is that I can understand a software glitch if you chose none of the above and you accidentally gave you Nikki Haley. The fact that you did not vote means that your vote should not even be in the equation.
Exactly.
If your vote was somewhere on the board, you could say, okay, there might have been a mix-up, but you can't just take votes that didn't happen and throw them in and say that was a software glitch. That's impossible.
Right.
Right. Well, and like I said, my husband and several other people reported back to me that they even had on their history that they mail ballot voted for 2020, which they did not. So it's kind of
right.
like, okay, has this been an ongoing issue? And because, you know, every citizen wasn't aware that they needed to go check, you know, because the Secretary of State is, you know, not running their shit properly, that to make sure your stuff is right. I mean, and even going back to remember in 2020, like the whole, you got to go cure your votes too. Go check. And if this and that, you got to go cure your votes. I mean, there's like a laundry list of things that are just not right. They don't make anyone feel comfortable. I don't think people really have faith anymore. And, I mean, we all saw what happened in 2020. I mean,
right.
all of us sat there and watched it unfold before our eyes, and then we had, like, we were completely gaslit, like, that we're all just being drama queens, that they stopped counting the votes, I mean, for the first time in history, turned the TV off, like, oh, we'll get back to you guys later. You know, and we all saw all of the reports coming in of them boarding up the counting rooms and
yep.
the videos of the suitcases and all the things. And so it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We've gone through so much craziness in the last few years. Like, I don't even know what to think anymore. It's just, It doesn't
and
feel
they keep
good.
Us from talking to each other because
oh,
they
yeah,
want us to think that we're the only one that feels that way. When
oh, yeah. I mean, I just got out of Instagram jail today. You know?
Yeah, they don't want us talking among ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they – and then, you know, I mean, it just all of it. It just all just makes me feel like what's going on? How do we fix it? And then our politicians are so corrupt, and it's like, can it be fixed? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I was just talking to my dad today because he called me. He's like, oh, I call you. Were you quoted in the RJ? And I was like, yeah. I called. I emailed them. I was like, what is going on here? And so he's like, you know, this is really bad. You know, I don't think it can be fixed because they also are flooding our state, being one of them. You know, these few swing states, they flood it with all this money and all these people, and we're all being told, well, we just got to get with the game, you know. We just got to go out there and bribe people and steal ballots and take ballots from old people and do what the Democrats do if we want to compete. On one hand, like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, I guess if this is the rules that we're given, this is the game that we're playing. But it's just really sad and pathetic to me that we're all being lowered now to the standard where – instead of doing things the right way, we all have to lower ourselves to the wrong way to try to compete with crooks, criminals, and thieves.
And
that, to me, is just really, really sad.
Yeah,
you know?
they're turning us all into criminals one way or another, too.
Well,
yeah,
the thing is, though, is that they know that we all think that way. And that we're too highbrow for that stuff. So they'll come in and do it because they know that we're not going to compete with that. We're not going to steal votes, so they will.
No.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. We have ethics and moral standards. So it's like, okay,
yeah, they think
well,
that's cute. Totally ineffective.
Yeah, like my girlfriend got 5 ballots last election because she lived in an apartment and they don't clear out the voter rolls. And she could have easily filled out those and turned them in. Instead, she called the Secretary of State's office and was like, hey, I received all these ballots. These people don't live here. And we all saw the videos of the post, even the post officers. Like, you know, I think Project Veritas did a thing where they had post officers, you know, giving ballot harvesters like tons of extra ballots because they knew those people didn't live at those addresses anymore. I mean, it's so gross. It's so disgusting. And I just, it makes my heart break because I've lived here my whole life. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, are we going to have to abandon ship? You know, I mean, are we going to have to leave this state, my hometown, because it's gone down the toilet and it's only going to get worse. You know, I mean, the other day I was in my mom's neighborhood at the Target I've been going to my whole life. They had all of the aisles locked up in those plastic cabinets. She wanted me to grab her some toothpaste and vitamins, and I had to go ask somebody to unlock them. I was like, oh, girl, this
wow.
is not a good sign. And this is like this is Section 10, like Sahara and Rainbow. It's a nice neighborhood, all custom homes, and their Target is locked up for toothpaste. I'm like, ooh, this is not good.
Well,
this Target is this, the one on Spring Mountain and Rainbow?
Yeah. And that was totally
okay.
new. I was like, and I asked the guy, I'm like, when did they do this? And he was like, oh, like, you know, a few weeks ago. And I was like, oh.
Because
we went to
Burlington Coat Factory on Sunday or Monday. And they only have one door to go in and out of. And the security guard stands right there and opens the door for you. The shelves are halfway filled, half empty. And there's only one way into every section of the store. It's just really weird. I couldn't get with
oh, yeah,
them.
I've been seeing
right
that
out.
Too. Oh, yeah, because we're going to become California Part 2. And I'm like, my parents and my husband's parents are still alive, so for at least as long as they're alive, we will stay here. But part of me is like, you know, I always got like an eye out when we're traveling, you know, like looking around, like maybe because – part of me thinking, like, I don't – like, we went to Virginia to clean out my grandma's house. She had passed away. And in that neighborhood, in this small town in Virginia, you could literally leave the car keys in the car. Nobody robs anybody. And I'm like, I'm the kind of person, I've been in Vegas for 48 years, where I literally check my six when I'm like unloading my groceries. Like, that's just habit. That's just, you know what I mean? Like, we've gotten to that place now where we're conditioned to like be aware of your surroundings, like make sure you know the exits. Like, what? Like, I mean, and it's like, wouldn't it be nice to live in a community? Like, my daughter went to school in the University of Wyoming. They left their doors open. I'm like, Hannah, you're driving me crazy. They leave the doors open. They leave the keys in the car. Like, nobody cares about anything because they know that nothing's going to happen. And I'm like, oh. Sometimes I dream about living in a community where people actually trust each other and are kind and they don't rob their neighbors.
But I will tell you, our one thing here that makes it not as bad as it could be is that Carolyn Goodman and Oscar Goodman are independents now, and they can't stand Governor Shitzhak when he was here, and they are not Democrats. If we had a communist mayor like in Chicago or New York, this would be
We're
going to
get one, though. Mayor Goodman is termed out, and Congress or City Councilman Cree is coming in behind her, and he's the kind of person that if you don't give him money, he won't help you. He won't talk to you. He shakes everybody down for money, and he is being groomed to be our next mayor, and it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know Shelley Berkeley is also running, and that's terrible news as well. I don't know enough about Victoria Seaman. I'd like to see if I can get her on the show.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, Victoria, you know, she's I don't know why, but nobody, like, she's not getting the support that she should be getting as the only Republican running. So it kind of makes me like, what's going on here? Because she has put her hat in the ring, so I don't know what's going on with that.
The one thing that she might have going for her is that if the other candidates that are strong are Republican, they could carry her, but she's not doing well right now. Joanne and Daphne, I need like 3 minutes or so. So if you two can talk, I'll be right back.
Yeah, no worries.
No, not a problem. Go ahead. Yeah, so Daphne, we got to do something. I really feel bad about what you're saying. But all, like, the targets in the city, they've all had to go out of business. So the people that were destroying the Target stores in the city have now had to go to the outskirts.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. These stores can't afford to stay open.
No.
Well,
I didn't realize until, I guess, that happened, and then I didn't realize that Sisolak had also upped, like California, the amount of for it to be a felony for shoplifting.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. Stealing is
so
stealing.
So I'm like, okay, that's why we're getting this, because we're starting to get the mob flash shoplifting and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's how businesses will flee from a state when you do stupid things like that. You know, these politicians do stupid things like that. They don't want to fight crime. They don't have the cops. They don't have the manpower. So instead of hiring more cops, they're going to cater to the illegals, and they're just going to up the ante. So they're just going to decriminalize things that should still be criminal. You know, you shouldn't steal. You shouldn't rob people. You shouldn't rob stores. If you can't afford to pay for it, I'm sure you could get somebody to help you. There's enough agencies around. You're not going to go hungry. And, you know, you just don't steal it. People used to have integrity, used to have morals. You know, they knew that that's not what you do. Used to get in trouble for that.
I know, we got lost. We got lost somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And it's tragic, you know.
Even little children.
When we were in Germany this summer, and we went to this giant, like, festival. It was a big outdoor festival that they hold every 2 months. Or, no, 2 months in the summer and 2 months in the winter. And it's free. So you go, we walk up to this festival, and it's like got food trucks and tents and circus acts and music and all this stuff and vendors. And the entire festival, first of all, everyone rode up on bikes, right? And then you go in, they don't pat you down. There's no clear bags. There's no wanding to go in. You just walk into the festival. So we went into the festival, and when you go to your food truck or you go get a beer, everything was glass, even from the food truck. My bowl was glass. I had a fork, and they give you this little chip, and it's worth a euro or two. And when you're done with your food, you take it back to the kitchen, and they give you your euro back. And it was the most interesting thing to see because I'm like, there's no trash. There's no trash. And
right.
Everything is just given back, and everything's glass, and there's no shenanigans. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like thinking in the States, could we do something like this? No, because we have idiots who will break the beer bottle and stab somebody in the head and, like, or whatever the case may be. I'm like, we can't even go to a basketball game without getting, you know, wanded these days. And I'm like, have we lost the civilized side of our society? I mean,
yeah,
other countries are doing it differently, you know? My daughter lives in Austria right now.
We
got to
stop putting up with it. You know, people have to take the streets back.
Let me tell you this story. So my daughter is married to a Hungarian girl, and they were living here with us when they got done with college. But because her student visa was running out, they had to leave, and now they live in Austria. So we bring students from around the world, and we pay for them to have a free education here because my husband also had a kid from Canada, and he was a UNLV golfer, and we pay for them to be educated, and when they want to stay here and work when they're done with their education, we kick them out.
Yeah, see, those are the immigrants we do want.
But if you're a gang member and you want to roll over on the border and bring God knows what with you, cool. We'll give you 10 G's and a place to live.
Yeah, and a court date for 10 years from now.
Yeah. So my daughter is now living in a different country across the world because her wife, who they are legally married.
Not only that, but your daughter-in-law is educated, so she would be benefiting society. That's the type of immigrant we want.
Yes. And my son, or my husband's, you know, his protege, he had groomed this kid for 4 years. He's from Canada. And his wife was Taiwanese, and they were both educated at UNLV on scholarship. So we paid for their education. They were student athletes, which those are the best kids. They do their stuff whenever you need them to finish. They're just on it, you know? And it's the same thing. They had to leave during the pandemic and go live in Taiwan because they can't get a work visa. But then we're letting literally millions of random criminals come over across the border. I mean, it's so absurd right now. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
I mean,
you should have your daughter-in-law cross the border from Mexico into California. Be living large.
I know. That's what I was said, right? Like, isn't this sad, you know? And then they moved to Austria, and my daughter applies for a visa there, and they're like, sure, you can stay here for 8 years or whatever it is, you know? It's like, what's going on here? Something is really, really wrong. But, I mean, try doing that in any other country where you just roll over. You're just going to just show up at the doorstep. I mean, we went to China in 2019 right before the pandemic. And let me tell you, nobody's just rolling into China. You can't just roll into China, like, no papers. Like, I'm just coming here. I'm just going to squat in your country. It doesn't work like that. But then they call you racist if you're like, wait a minute, whoa, we're not vetting anyone. We're not vetting anyone coming over the border right now. Like, what's going on here? This is not good. And, you know, what's really interesting in China is that there was no homeless people, but they had the level of surveillance that only is when I was walking around and there's cameras everywhere looking at you. The only thing I think of is the only place I've seen this many cameras is our country.
Right. There's a camera on every street corner, every traffic light.
Yes. And have you noticed, I've noticed that there's those portable police cameras being set up in parking lots everywhere now too.
Yeah.
So we have one on the corner now down the street at our CVS, but it's just driving around town in general, Like, mm-hmm. I've noticed them popping up everywhere, and I'm thinking to myself, why are the cops dropping off these monitoring systems all over town? Is it because crime's that bad? This is their way. Yeah, like appeasing, like business owners, like, okay, we'll drop this off over in your neighborhood. Or, like, what, you know, because you know we don't get the real news here in Las Vegas. Like, my husband and I have joked about it for years. Like, you get all the fluff pieces, but we don't actually get the crime statistics, like, what's actually going on in our town. Because they don't want scary tourists.
It's fairy tale they're telling everybody.
Mm-hmm.
None of it's true. And if it is, it's only a slight bit of truth, and the rest is just thrown in there for the fluff.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, Las Vegas, you guys are getting your share of displaced liberals out of California.
I know.
I hear people say, you know, I used to vote Democrat all the time, and I voted for Newsom, and I voted for Pelosi, and now they've turned their back on the state, so I'm getting out of here. So instead of staying there and fighting and changing, you're going to flee, and you're going to leave those people holding the bag for what you voted for. And now they're going to go over to Las Vegas, and what are they going to do? They're going to vote more Democrats there?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, I mean, even, like, honestly, like, don't get me wrong. I understand that Governor Lombardo vetoed a lot of really devastatingly terrible bills, and I am thankful that he's our governor. But for me, like, we were fighting for this health freedom bill for parental consent that he signed last year that I feel like was a bargaining chip for that stupid baseball stadium. And that's the kind of stuff that makes me just feel like, what is the point of all of us? So I've been in the Republican Party my whole life, and I've been active for over 10 years. And I've been on the resolutions committee, and I went to the convention, and we worked and made these beautiful resolutions about parents' rights and medical freedom and all these things that we all care about so much, especially after the pandemic. And we worked so hard to build all these bridges and relationships with all these people and go to these stupid meetings and do all these things for years on end. So I thought, okay, we have made all the right relationships. We have laid out all the solid arguments. There is no way that this man will turn on every single one of his supporters and sign this bill to allow them to medicate your children without parental consent. There is no way. But he held out to the very end, and they were haggling over that stupid baseball stadium. And then next thing you know, by surprise, surprise, he signs it. So now, unbeknownst, because a lot of Nevada voters are not educated, unbeknownst to parents all over our state, your kid could possibly be vaccinated with HPV Gardasil or given birth control or given a black box PrEP HIV preventative, quote-unquote, medication behind your back, and you would be none the wiser. And Joe Lombardo, along with the Democratic legislature, made sure that came true. And that,
wow.
that made me so disgusted. I'm like, what is the point of us spending all this time and doing all these things and supporting all these candidates, and they don't give a shit what we really think? They don't care about us. How are you going to campaign on parental rights and sign the one key bill that strips parental rights away? Unbelievable. So I'm just, like I said, I'm at a level right now of disgust. That I just feel like I don't even know. I don't even know what to do with myself anymore. Like, I don't even know why I care, because nobody else cares. Like, we spent hours and hours
and
hours.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. People do care, but they feel powerless in how to change it. You know, and I switched to Republican when Trump was running in the primary. And I was an independent up until then. We have closed primaries here in Florida.
Yes.
So you have to be a Democrat or Republican to vote in their primary. So, I skipped the primary, but I did vote for the candidates in the general election. But I got involved with the Republicans down here. And you're right. They love these soirees, you know. They always go to meetings. They always have luncheons. And they have out-of-town people come in and they have luncheons with them. But they don't really do anything. They're not out
yeah.
in the community. They're not, you know, it took this woman, Christine, so we could have Trump rallies. And then we rented a bus and everybody chipped in. This didn't come from the RNC. This was totally separate. And we all went to the Trump rallies, whether he was down in Fort Myers or up in Tampa or Sarasota. We went to all of them. And we rented
mm-hmm.
our own bus. The Republicans didn't do anything for him. When I first walked into that Republican office, I said, "Hi, I'm Joanne Moretti. I'm here to help support Trump. I want to volunteer." And they looked at me like, "Oh, another one supporting Trump?" Because they all wanted
right.
Cruz at the time.
Mm.
And they didn't even have a Trump sign. But as Trump got more and more popular, they started to come around. There were still some real snooty
right.
ones. But they looked
right.
at you like you were a filth and swine if you said I'm volunteering for Trump. But then other people would come in. And while I was standing there, I would say, "So why do you want a Trump sign? Why are you voting for him?" So the more people that come in looking for Trump signs and the more people that were questioned why, the real snooty ones had to lighten up.
Right.
And they had to order the Trump yard signs and things. And they couldn't keep enough of them in stock, and that was infuriating them too.
Hey, God bless Florida. You guys, whatever you guys are doing, though, you're doing it right. Let me tell you, we came to your state several times during the pandemic just to have a sense of normalcy with our family. And the people of Florida, you know, they just weren't having it. And so I still say to this day, you know, if Florida would not have stood up during the pandemic and put pressure on the other red states to open up, we'd all still be locked down.
Yeah, well, you got to figure the demographics down here. The people who are engineers and doctors and biologists and military retirees, they all retire to Florida. So
yeah.
we have a lot of very, very intelligent and very strong people, very
good.
Patriotic people down here.
I might be moving
you
there.
Know,
just kidding.
Yeah, well, this is people's mothers and fathers and grandfathers and, you know, your uncle who was a colonel and your aunt who was an army nurse, and they're all retired here.
Oh,
and
yeah, we have family retired in Florida. Yeah.
Yeah.
FBI, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they pay close attention because everybody wanted to come to Florida. And we are a freedom-loving state, and we do have a state constitution, and no mandate is legal here.
Mm-hmm.
They can't mandate you to do anything here. And these veterans, other than Phoenix, Arizona, we have the highest concentration of retired military veterans right here in Florida.
I love it.
Yeah, so if you can get here,
yeah.
get here.
Girl, you know I've been looking on the Zillow. The only thing I'm, like, worried about is, like, the bugs. I'm like, you guys do have those bugs, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
we do have bugs, but everybody's got bugs. Ours are just a little bigger, but they're under control.
Yeah.
I live on the west coast of Florida. I don't live on the east coast. It's all madness
okay.
over there. Yeah, it's all
yeah.
touristy, but over this side, it's all nice communities.
Good.
The people here are year-round are snowbirds that they come and stay for long periods of time. It's not transients over here. It's not all touristy and stuff. Up in Tampa, you have a lot of tourists. But where I am, we have a lot of residents.
The one thing I'm surprised about, though, why didn't they stop the GMO mosquito release in Florida?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was the one thing that shocked me. Because we were in Key West and
we
saw all the signs, and I've got friends that are out there.
Well, it was sold a bill of goods. DeSantis never would have signed that. No, but, you know, Bush, I don't know. He was
yeah.
a good governor, but he was
yeah.
wishy-washy and a pushover.
Yeah.
DeSantis, no, he's a hardcore little fighter. And we like our governor. He's not going to be president, and he shouldn't have run this time, and he should
yeah.
have sat this one out and would have been a shoo-in next time. But that's all right. He can rebuild.
Yeah.
He took money from the wrong people.
He is a good man.
But he's making good decisions here.
Yeah, you guys are really lucky. I mean,
yeah,
and that's
I
what
Ira
I wish
Donald is,
our
is
governor
my
would be like that. You know, our governor, he's just too wishy-washy.
Yeah,
you know,
our governor's
you
not
don't
a
make
pushover.
Deals with Democrats. I mean, it's like, come on. You know, it's just, like I said, the parental rights bill, like, just really, I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah,
right
well,
now?
You know, these wishy-washy Republicans, they say, oh, well, we're going to meet the Democrats halfway, and, you know, we want to reach across the aisle. If someone's trying to destroy your country, why do you want to reach across the aisle to them?
Yeah.
You know, that's
for
like
what?
Hamas
for
is screaming death
stadium.
To Israel. And Biden's, well, can you meet them halfway? It's just
yeah.
stupid. No, you can't meet them halfway.
Yeah.
It's either okay or it isn't. There's no talking about it, and it's only half bad, so, you know, we'll just hold our nose and vote for the other half. No, we won't. We don't want the bad stuff. And we pass clean bills down here. And I'm very,
yeah,
very
I promise
lucky
you, I'm not holding my nose and voting for Trump. I'm a happy Trump voter.
Yeah, I'm not holding my nose and voting for Trump. I'm supporting Trump. I've been supporting Trump since he come down the escalator. He's there's
the
one
bone
person.
I have to pick with Trump, the only bone I have to pick with him, you know, because my main focus at this point in time is health freedom, is, yeah, like, I wish that he would just own up that he should have, like, stood firmer against Fauci and Burks and that and Gottlieb and said no. You know,
I think he learned his lesson, but this is from what I have with the radio show here. There's a ton of people out there that are going to vote for Robert Kennedy strictly because of the gene therapy issue. And I think that's the wrong way to look at it. Kennedy is good on two things. He's great on health freedom, and he's good against the war. Everything
you
else,
know,
he's
Trump,
a liberal.
Trump could come out and say, I made a mistake trusting those people. And I'm not a doctor. I'm a developer. So
yeah.
I had to rely on the information that I was given. This guy's the top of the job. He's the highest paid
yeah.
federal employee. You figure you'd know what he was talking about. And then when things were sluggish and they were saying, oh, we need ventilators, he got General Motors to make ventilators. They make cars.
Yeah, he did.
You know, so he thought he needed ventilators and he got them.
Yeah.
So, you know, he could own up to
it
and say, look, I did the wrong thing,
all.
But for the right reason.
Yeah. I actually went to the Kennedy rally here and I was talking to some old friends. And it was actually a really interesting crowd because it really was a lot of true independents. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's a data analysis person, and he actually told me that the independents that are going to vote for Kennedy traditionally break blue.
Right.
Yeah.
So as much as everyone is so fearful on the right about Kennedy, it actually favors Trump.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's interesting because I actually would have thought the opposite. But he's like, that's just the numbers. And
right.
talking
and
to people that were
the
there,
actually,
you kind
because
of see that they're kind of like old school Bernie people or stuff like that. So
yeah,
I
believe
like,
that.
It was an interesting crowd. So I'm really glad I went. I do admire Kennedy a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's got a lot of really good things to talk about and to say. And I hope that the things that he cares about, that his supporters care about, are brought into the fold going forward if Trump is elected. Because you have to remember, Trump was going to bring RFK into the administration when he first got elected. And
right.
he was going to do a whole vaccine safety review. And then Bill Gates met with Trump and was like, oh, no, you can't do that. Don't do that. Oh, that's terrible. I mean, there's video of Bill Gates talking about this whole, like, interlude with Trump. And then all of a sudden Trump did. He, like, totally ghosted RFK. And I'm just thinking, like, why would you listen to Bill Gates? He's, like, the worst of the worst. And I'm not saying that Trump's not human and that maybe he will
come
to see the error of some of the...
learned.
Yeah.
You know, but
like,
Trump gets close to the enemy to feel them out, too.
I know. So that was one thing that I thought was really interesting. So people are like, oh, well, maybe he'll bring RFK in this time. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, he literally brought him in last time and was like, yeah, I want you to do all this stuff. And then as soon as Bill Gates, like, was like, oh, no, you can't do that, like, Trump backed off of it. And I'm like, you know, that's the kind of stuff that leaves me still a skeptic. Like, I still have my own skepticisms.
You can't trust. Don't trust anyone. But
yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Or even, like, look at Nikki Haley. He had her as, are you an ambassador? And look at her now. And, I mean, she's, like, Dick Cheney with heels on. And John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, I mean, Fauci, Gottlieb. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they were all
stabbing
him in the back.
They did. They turned around and stabbed him in the back real quick. So, I mean, I just hope and pray.
Now, who do you trust in that position?
That he doesn't put himself in the same position. I think I understand what they're doing to him. I mean, yeah, look at what they are doing to him. This New York case.
Yeah.
That's
straight up
absurd.
Persecution now. That's not just normal stuff. That's persecution.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I completely agree with that. Like, it's absolutely absurd what they're doing to Trump. And then with RFK, they're denying him, even though his house has been broken into several times.
Yep.
A man whose arm tried to get into one of his rallies, you know, posing as a Fed. I mean, this is a Kennedy, and the Biden administration is refusing to let him have Secret Service, even though it's been offered to every single presidential candidate as long as, you know, since his father was assassinated. That's when it began,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
so
and I heard that Trump was supplying him with security.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I heard Trump picked up the tab for his security.
Oh, really? I had not heard that. I know that he's got, like, Gavin
Becker. He says, I know he's running for president, but, you know, if the guy's in danger, you can't let anything happen to him. So, you know,
he's had crazy people in
security.
His house. Yeah, I mean, and it's like for the Biden administration to flippantly keep denying him security, and it's, you know, he probably won't even get ballot access. I mean, and for me, I hope it's a wake-up call for Democrats. You know, that's what trips me out. It's like we all had our moments with Ron Paul when we got to see how the sausage was made and see how when I was in Miami in 2012, and, you know, they don't even follow their own rules either, right? John Boehner's up there ignoring the calls for, you know, call to order, all the Roberts rules stuff that people were trying to nominate Ron Paul. He had met the threshold at the RNC convention in 2012, and they wouldn't even seat his delegates, his duly elected delegates.
I know.
I mean,
the
so the RNC is
Texas
no better than the fucking
furious.
Oh, sorry.
We went to that RNC convention, and we went to Ron Paul's event the day before the convention.
Yes, it was a great event.
Yeah,
and
that was a good event. And
we
learned
as Republicans, oh, wait a minute, they don't even follow their own rules. And then when you had the Bernie people get burned by Hillary Clinton cheating, they were like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, what? Oh, yeah, you guys finally got involved in politics and realized that it's all, like, crap.
Yep.
And so I feel like between both movements in the last decade, a lot of people have woken up to, like, everything that you thought was the way it was supposed to be is not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's nothing like that. And then when they were stripping votes, Florida tried to move our primary, Florida or Michigan. We tried to go first in the lineup, and they stripped our votes because of it. The Democrats did. So we take it to court, and the court decided that these parties are private entities and they can run their primary any way they want to. Some parties don't even have a primary. They just nominate somebody, and that's who they put on the ballot. So the primary is only a beauty contest. They do not have to abide by their own rules. So they can do whatever they want. It's the general election that counts. But,
right.
You know, Trump could take 100% of the vote. And if they don't want to give him that nomination at that convention, they don't have to.
I mean, that would be...
No, and I was there when they denied Ron Paul, that Texas delegation got up furious. They were marching, literally marching with their Texas flag, bunches of them, up and down the streets of Tampa. I got all kinds of pictures of it, and they were livid. We were staged up at the Hyatt in right in downtown Tampa, and
we were fighting against Mitt Romney. And it's so interesting, you know, I went to the state convention and made really good friends with all the people sitting in my section that were Mitt Romney supporters at the time. And it's so interesting to fast forward 10 years from now and have all these people that I've now grown to become really good friends with because we're civilized and we were kind to each other, even though we didn't agree on who the nominee should be. And they have come to realize, wow, Mitt Romney is a total POS. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Right.
We told you guys that you would not listen. He is terrible. So at least there's been that awakening. Like, you guys were right. And it was like, yeah, we were right. I'm not one of those people that wants to be like, yeah, we were right. We told you. But it's like, I mean, at some point, our track record is so strong. If one of us is saying something, you might want to perk your ears up because we kind of been paying attention for a while.
We've been right all along.
Yeah.
And people are noticing. But it has taken an awful long time for this wake up. And not everybody's awake, you know. But I'll tell you, I'm glad some people are. I'm glad black people are waking up because they're still abusing them. Even that Fannie Willis. You know, they all want to go after Trump. So they got the black chick. And they gave her a lot of money, and she's got an ego, and she thinks she's Mrs. Cool Breeze, you know, and she's a strong black woman, and black this and black that. So they were like, okay, we'll let the black chick do it. Now it's all falling apart, and it's all going to land on her, not the people that put her
like
up to it.
But, you know, it's like they're afraid, I think, sometimes to speak out, too. I was at a Board of Regents meeting in January because the Legislative Commission, so they had put the mandates for the vaccine for our universities, right? But then the Legislative Commission met, and it was 6 Republicans and 6 Democrats, and the 6 Republicans held strong and repealed the mandate. So then at the next Board of Regents meeting, they were going to vote on whether or not to send this lofty letter to urge Steve Sisolak to do whatever he can in his power to re-implement these mandates. And so, you know, they all like to virtue signal and all this stuff. So I went and I called them out and I said, you know, the majority of people who are declining these injections are in our minority communities. So what you guys are telling me right now, when you guys like to stand up on that soapbox and talk about equality and equity and access to education and all this bullcrap that they like to espouse all the time. Right now, you are telling me that you want to use a medical mandate to exclude the minorities of the state of Nevada from having access to the least expensive higher education that they could possibly get. That's what I'm hearing. And there was one black woman on the board, and she heard what I was saying. And she echoed the sentiments in her comments, but then she still voted with all of them. And I thought to myself, girl, you need to stand up. I can't believe that you sat and regurgitated your concerns with mine, and then you were too scared to vote against party lines. To stand up and say, you know what, I don't agree with this. And let me tell you, I went to that meeting early and I was sitting there quietly. Nobody knew who I was. There was barely any people there. It was 8:00 in the morning. And I'm sitting there listening, and they had all the presidents from all the universities across the state there. And they all came in. They're all, you know, giving each other high fives and talking about their Christmas break. I was listening to their conversations, and all of them were like, oh, yeah, the kids brought home COVID over Christmas. We all had COVID. So I sat there and listened to all the presidents of the universities, Brian Sandoval included, who was our pretend Republican governor before, and they all sat there and talked about swapped COVID holiday stories, and then sat there also and kowtowed that we should, yeah, somehow we should magically make this mandate reappear, even though we all know personally from our own personal experiences that this quote-unquote vaccine doesn't work. And it was
right.
The most absurd thing I've ever – I mean, I looked at Brian Sandoval in the eyes when I was giving him my statement, and I just thought, you're such a coward, Brian. Like, you have had COVID even though you've been vaccinated, and you're sitting here putting – we listened to testimony from up north during that hearing from a professor who was going to lose her job because she had only taken one of the vaccines, and she had been bleeding for 6 months. And she was pleading with them to keep her job. And she was like, I cannot take another. I have literally been bleeding for 6 months. I cannot do it, but I want to keep my job. And
right.
They still all voted for it. And then the audacity later on in the meeting for them to go on and on about how they're short of staff, I almost fell off my chair. Like, we're living in a crazy land, like crazy town.
Yeah.
You guys are complaining.
My friend's a nurse up in Massachusetts.
Staff shortage, but you're firing all these people, some of them who have literal medical consequences over a vaccine mandate when you all know in the first place it doesn't even work. It's maddening.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It didn't stop you from getting sick. It didn't stop you from contracting or spreading it. So it's not a vaccine. Because a vaccine would have protected you from the disease. This doesn't protect you from anything. All it does is alter your DNA. Now you're part virus. But my friend who's a nurse in Massachusetts, she didn't want to get the shot. She had medical reasons too. So she got fired from one of the most prestigious hospitals in Massachusetts.
Unbelievable.
Well, like you said, they were short-staffed. So they had to hire a temp agency. She went to work for a temp agency. They didn't make her get the vaccine. So, sure enough, they put her right back in that hospital that fired her.
It's crazy. Yeah.
She was working for the temp agency.
And
she was making more money.
Yeah, the travel nurses were making more money.
Jeez.
I mean, I stood on the streets of Las Vegas with our healthcare workers when they were doing their mandate march. Because they were all seeing it. I got friends who were techs. They're like, we are seeing the blood clots. They're seeing it ground zero themselves. And they're like, well, we don't want to take it, you know. And they went through the whole pandemic working. So you got these people working these crazy hours and busting their buns. And then now you're going to threaten their livelihood? I mean, I'm like traumatized by what we've all been through because it's just – all of it is not okay, and you had the worst of the worst come out in people, and they just all quietly wandered off into the sunset. But they need to stand with the rest of us now and say, you know what? I was wrong. I was scared. I was wrong. I stand with you guys now. I went to D.C. for the Defeat the Mandates march, and let me tell you, that was what scared them off because – it was a huge amount of people, and it was Democrats, independents, libertarians, black, white, Chinese, Indian, you name it. It was the true representation of America, and it gave me chills to be standing at the National Monument with a crowd of real Americans who were like, I mean, there was one lady that was like, I'm vaxxed and a Democrat, and I still don't believe in this bullshit. And I thought to myself, this is the true patriots of our country. They came out here. We had to stay in Virginia because we couldn't even book a room in D.C. because they were requiring vaccine proof to stay at the hotel.
Right.
We all had to stay in Virginia across the river. And it was a beautiful day. And I think that's when they knew the mandates were not going to hold because it was across all lines. It was true Americans. Like there was no, like, Republican, Democrat. It was all of us saying, I don't think so. Firefighters, nurses, teachers, doctors, it was everybody. And we were out there standing there. And I met so many of those families who have lost loved ones. And let me tell you, when you look a father in the eyes who lost his only son because he was told that he was doing the right thing by getting his teenage kid this fucking shot and then his son dies in his sleep, I mean, I will never forget the look of that dad's eyes in my life. I met Maddie DeGarry, who was the girl who was in the Pfizer trial for the children, who is now in a wheelchair with a permanent feeding tube. I met her family. The look in her mother's eyes, I mean, you cannot forget the look.
Yeah, and the mother's got to feel so guilty. She thought she was saving the kid and ended up doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. She was like, I'll put my kid in the trial. And then now
she's
learned,
she was scared the kid was going to die.
They don't care about you. Yeah.
Yeah.
They wrote him off.
And
it was just like, it was unbelievable.
They scared people. Look at these airline pilots dropping dead in the sky now. You know, those elitists who went to the World Economic Forum and the Bilderberg and all that, they want unvaccinated pilots now. They're not even hiring these pilots that they mandated get these shots.
I'm friends with pilots that said no. And let me tell you, there's some scary stories out there, for sure. Like my one friend is a pilot.
They're in high demand now.
Yeah, well, he said that, you know, some of these people that he's co-piloting with, they're not quite right anymore health-wise. And they did lower their health standards. They were held to a really, really high health standard. And quietly, they just kind of, like, lowered the health standards. I was like, oh, yeah. And, I mean, the pilots are fully aware. And I will say, along with the truckers, the pilots of this country were getting ready to stand with all of us, too. And I am so thankful for those people because they saved us all.
They did.
You know, I mean, the truckers and the pilots, all these people who are about to be like, we're going to shut this country down if you guys push it another minute further. And they finally had to say, okay, we give. We're gonna take it all
back.
Not
only that, but they used to make you stay in the house. You know, vitamin D, get out in the sun. Get some fresh air. The virus dies when the weather is warm. Go out and, you know, get some sunshine on you. That will kill the virus. But instead, they had them all in their houses and up in their rooms and stay in bed and, you know, in the darkness.
Yeah.
That was killing people even just as much.
It was shocking. I remember, like, going to the grocery store early on. They had put in the mask mandates. I had on, like, this really terrible, like, pretend mask on. But it had, like, slid down. And this woman walked across the fucking grocery store, and she started screaming at me like a crazy person in front of my child. And I just looked at that woman and unloaded on her because my daughter was in shock. But I was like, if I don't put this woman in her place right now, she's going to think it's okay to carry on like this. You cannot scream at a stranger. I mean, what are you doing? It made people crazy.
Yeah, people thought they had a little bit of power over others. They never had power before.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was
weird.
She was
going to attack me.
Put a mask on.
Honey, I'm not the one. And, you know, I have a degree in biology. The first thing I did, we didn't know, none of us knew what was going on, right? The first thing I did is look up the mask studies. And right there, plain as day, it was there from the very beginning. They had done long-term standing studies with the flu. It didn't work.
No.
Because I was thinking, oh, my gosh, are we going to have to make masks, right? Like, I was like, oh, no, like, what? I didn't know what was going on. And then, like, as soon as I read the study, I was like, oh, this is, like, pointless. And
Daphne, do you know how many times I've put a scam on my face?
Never.
Zero. Have you seen the group Bare Face is Legal?
Yes.
Yeah, do you remember? I don't know if you remember, but back in 2020, when we had 38,700 members and Spybook took us down because of misinformation and we ended up on the front page of the USA Today.
Oh, yeah. Look, during the pandemic, I was posting stuff straight from the CDC or straight from John Hopkins, and they were censoring my posts. I was like, what is going on here?
The funniest thing was
really wrong.
I don't know if you've heard this before, but I've heard it where wearing a scam is just you're supposed to do it. You just like wearing shoes. It's against the law. And they got the wrong one on that one because you know me.
Yeah. No, It was crazy, but we traveled the whole time because, well, nobody was traveling, so we're like, well, let's go. I mean, like, it became ridiculous when you could cross this magical border and go into the beautiful state of Utah and live normal, and then I had to come home. I mean, Nevada was, if you remember, one of the last states to lift the mask mandate. We could go to Mexico. We could go to Florida. We could, you know, we traveled all over the place, and everything was like normal. You could tell that there were places that were like doing certain things because they felt like they were trying to encourage people to come, so they didn't want people to be scared. Like in Mexico, like the level of hand sanitizer they were trying to pass out all the time, I was like, I'm good. But, you know, and I get it because they wanted tourism because people were starving. Like, your businesses were shut down. And then here in Nevada, I mean, I have inside baseball. I mean, the gaming commission, which Steve Sisolak appointed his personal attorney to, you know, they were behind the scenes blackmailing the casinos, telling them, sending them notifications, if you guys don't get a certain percentage vaccinated of your employees, we're not going to let you open up. I mean, they were totally blackmailing.
Yeah, they were strong-arming, really bad.
Yes. And I asked, you know, Joe Brown, a famous attorney here, I said, Joe Brown, because he was on the gaming commission, like, what do you think about that? That our gaming commission can be so captured and held that they were blackmailing people during the pandemic. And let me tell you, I happen to know somebody who runs a casino, and they, you know, were trying to do the right thing and took their whole staff out to get vaccinated, to be an example to the rest of the employees so they could open their business before it was completely shuttered. And within 1 week, one of the younger employees had a heart attack that almost killed him from a giant blood clot in his leg and in his heart. 1 week. And I talked to this guy later. I saw him, and I was like, hey, I heard what happened to you. Like, did you think it was from the vaccine? And he was like, I did. He's like, but my doctors were like, no, there's no way. And so I got a second one, and then he ended up back in the hospital for gastrointestinal bleeding. And I'm like, look, please don't take any more of those because, you know, I care about you and you're a nice guy. Please don't take any more of those. And I sent him all the information on how to file a VAERS report and all that stuff because on top of them gaslighting you, they don't report it. You know, everyone
right.
likes to complain and think that theirs is over-reported. No, theirs is under-reported. Most people have never even heard of it, don't know how
right.
to file a report. And if you've ever tried to file a report, my girlfriend's a healthcare worker, and she was trying to file reports for people. It's very tedious. You have to sign an affidavit swearing that everything is truthful. And if you even stop input for like a few minutes, it logs you out and you have to start all over again. So
yep.
it is not an easy thing to file a VAERS report. And I know so many people personally that were injured by this injection. And it's just really disturbing to me because it's like a lot of them also are young. I had two kids in college and I had access to the dashboards. One was in Wyoming, one was in Denver. Wyoming did not mandate the vaccine. 47%, though, voluntarily took it. My kid in Denver, they mandated the vaccine. 97% of the kids got the vaccine and the booster. They mandated the booster and the flu shot. So I had two kids in two different states, and you could see the case numbers. Let me just tell you, Wyoming fared so much better than Denver. And they had a 97% compliance rate. And
yeah.
it was like, it was ridiculous. And I mean, at that point, you've got your own data. And it's like, and then they ended up changing, you know, Denver ended up changing it, making it voluntary later, and it quietly, of course. But it's like, there's still universities out there, I think like 69, that are requiring people to take these just to go to school. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, not here in Florida. There's
yeah,
no,
thank God for Florida, you know.
No. Yeah, we put our foot down hard. you know, just
they... Well, let me let you kids get back to, I got my husband's probably like, where did she go?
Hey, I really enjoyed this conversation. And
no,
I'm glad
too.
You called
hey,
in. Thank you.
Thank you so much for
you
guys.
We'll have to try
to get
together, Daphne. I'll follow up on this.
Yeah, no, and I'm waiting, too, to hear what they what the follow-up is on this whole ballot, you know, oopsie-doopsie-whoopsie thing is, too. So I'll keep you posted anything I hear. But
and
I appreciate...
Get in touch with True the Vote. You can
yes,
do it on
I
Twitter.
Will.
Yeah, just go onto Twitter and go to True the Vote and tell them, you know, just give them a brief outline and they'll get back to you.
All right, I will. Thank you guys so much.
The type of stuff they need to know.
You made me feel better just having this conversation because it reminds me there's good people out there that understand what we've all been through. And
we all got to stick together.
That's right. Amen. All right, have a good
night, guys. Let us know how you make out and see, you know, how many other steps have been taken on your behalf and see what people say. Call in and check in. All right, thank you again, honey.
All right, have a great night, guys. Bye.
You too. Yeah, that was a really enjoyable conversation. She knows her stuff. I like talking to smart people.
I figured you'd like that.
Yes, that was enjoyable. Thank you. I'm glad you invited her. So, did you see that they finished up the Julian Assange hearing? They haven't had a ruling yet on whether or not he's going to be extradited to the United States. But this Biden administration, they will kill him in jail. They'll Jeffrey Epstein him because he embarrassed the DNC and the CIA. And he didn't, you know, he didn't steal anything. He didn't steal that information that was given to him. Just as if he were the New York Times, you know, how they get, you know, the secret insider, you know, whistleblower things, all those stories. Well, that's just the same thing. We all know that those files were downloaded from the DNC. They were not stolen by the Russians. They were not hacked. We know it was Seth Rich, and we know he was murdered for it. And believe me, Julian Assange will suffer the same fate because they're not going to let that go. I don't want him to get extradited. I want them to decide, no, we're not going to extradite him, and that's the end of that. Let it go. Leave the man alone. He's been in jail.
The thing is that everybody knows they're going to do this to Assange, just like we all knew what was going to happen to Jeffrey Epstein. So how
yeah.
do they get away with this?
Because we don't stick together enough. We're not strong enough. We don't have a circle mm-hmm. of strength around them. And, you know, they all stick together so much, nobody sees anything. They don't even talk to each other. They don't even make eye contact. You know, it's better to keep your head down and your mouth shut in that atmosphere. So whatever they're going to do, the people around them are going to let them do it. I don't want Julian Assange to come to the United States. He will not be safe here. He's not safe anywhere, but he's less safe here. You know, let the guy leave his, you know, live his life out. He didn't steal anything. Yeah, he did. And the more they bring up his name, the more those emails come back and the more WikiLeaks comes to the surface. You know, if you shut your mouth, people might even forget about it and all that information that was in those emails. You know, I'll remember it, you'll remember it because we studied it and we reported on it and we passed those along. And we talked about Seth Rich and his death. We've talked about Julian Assange. But like I said, Assange received them. He didn't take them. So they can't get him for spying. They can't, you know, and he's not an American citizen. So they can't get him for treason. Yeah, he embarrassed the DNC, but he's not an American. So, you know, just shut your mouth and let him go. It's time to let that go.
I don't even know what they, what would they possibly do? What could they charge him with?
They charged him with spying, with being an international spy, with all crimes against the United States. And he didn't commit any crime at all. He's a journalist. and where he's not American, he's not protected by the Constitution. But if they bring him here, they have to give him the same rights that they would give any other defendant. So I don't know how they're going to go around that. But if you bring him to an American court, you have to go by American court rules. And he has rights. But that isn't guaranteed. Donald Trump's got rights too. But those were completely overlooked, right down to his talking to his lawyer. They arrested his lawyer too.
See, before Daphne left, I was hoping that I'd get this in where I was going to tell her my point-blank reason why Kennedy will absolutely not win. And I don't care if they say he's taking votes from Brandon or Trump. And I brought this up once before with you, I believe, that if you go watch any news clips, you see people are in the black communities, the Hispanic communities, they're tired of Brandon. At the same time, they are not going to look to see who Robert F. Kennedy is. They have no clue who Robert F. Kennedy is. They're saying, I'm going for Trump because they know who Trump is.
Yeah, Trump supporters are not going to abandon him. These people severely underestimate Trump supporters. Nikki Haley's very much underestimating them. They think,
But the issue is that they're going to get people like Daphne and a couple of our co-hosts because Trump is weak on gene therapies.
Right.
So they're voting for one topic.
Yeah, well,
I think that's the wrong way to do things, personally.
Trump should come out and try to straighten it out and say, you know, I was relying on unreliable people, and that won't happen again.
At least he knows now to shut up over that stuff.
Yeah, he hasn't brought it up. But he did do that thing with the ventilators. Even though it was the wrong thing, he did the right thing.
Yeah.
It showed you that in an emergency, you can transform a company into making critical needed items right away. So, you know, that was the right thing, although it was the wrong thing. It was the wrong thing. But knowing it can be done is the right thing. You get what I'm saying?
So right reaction, but wrong thing done.
Right. Wrong thing done. Because it turned out the ventilators were creating more of a problem. But he was able to get General Motors to build what he thought were absolutely a critical need. He was told, we need these ventilators, and he got it done. In record time, that they said it couldn't be done, and he got it done. So that proved to everybody that those type of things can be done. So if in event we need other critical things, critical items, you know that the machinery can be converted to make those in a hurry if we need them. So that is a good thing to know, but it was the wrong thing to do at the time. So she's right, you know, and about the vaccines, you know, he was touting that, you know, he got it done really fast, and he did. And he thought he was doing the right thing, and it ended up being the wrong thing. So, yeah, own up to that. But look who was around him, Fauci, Burks. And all these other people, you know, National Health Institute, the World Health Organization,
yeah.
They're all saying you got to do this. And, you know, the drug companies are saying you got to do this. And everybody was all on the same page. So, you know, these are your top advisors. These are the top people in the world telling you this is what is necessary. If he had said no, then they would have said he killed everybody. He said, yeah, trying to save them, and they still say he killed everybody. And these vaccines are horrible. Don't take them. Don't give them to your kids. Don't get any more boosters if you did get the vaccine. Nobody's mad at you, even though, you know, some of these people tried to force them down everybody else's throat who didn't want them, saying, you know, we should be in jail, we should be dead, we're going to die first, and all of that. You know, those were terrible things to say, or you should be dead, or you should, you know, your family should be dead. If you're not going to get the vaccine, you're killing old ladies. No, we weren't. Nobody was killing anybody except the vaccine. And this virus is survivable. And it was a man-made virus. So it's not something that just happened. Fauci knew it was going to happen. He made the vaccine and then released it. And the drug companies made fortunes off it. And our treasury got raided again. Because they said
anything going to happen? Because Dr. Fraudy already went to court, admitted stuff. Nothing's happening.
No, nothing's happening. He's still getting his pension. He's still got Secret Service protection and a ride provided for him. He's got limousine service everywhere he goes and Secret Service.
Yeah.
And he's still the highest paid federal employee. So... And he wrote books and stuff. He was very much celebrated. He was riding high for a long time. And then Burks come out and said, well, they knew that it was.
I just had some liberal post on my spy book, and I'll tell you exactly what I wrote. I don't care. Not that I'm a profanity expert or anything, but I wrote, and I quote here as soon as I pull it up, why the fuck are fuckers still wearing scams like a fuck?
I saw that.
someone that lives in Brooklyn, they were saying how it helps keeps germs away from me. And then I brought up that Dr. Fraudy admitted in court that it doesn't work. And she says, well, it still helps people coughing on me.
No, it doesn't.
That's liberalism for you.
No, it doesn't. Virus is microscopic. The weave in a mask is bigger. So a microscopic virus...
Well, they don't need to hear that. You and I know that. Liberals, they have their minds made up. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're not gonna hear a word I said. So just go put up a chain link fence and try to keep the mosquitoes out. Because it's the same principle.
Yeah, go to a construction site and put a sun visor on because that'll protect your head.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, put a screen in the bottom of your boat. Keep the water out.
That's true.
Yeah, they're just ridiculous. And after all that we know, they should have caught on by now. I think anybody who hasn't caught on is full of it. They're just lying now. Or that they don't want to hear it. Because everybody knows. Everybody's heard the stories.
So now you have the mayor of Chicago suing oil companies because of the climate change that the gas companies have done to the city of Chicago.
Oh. Well, that's not going to get them anywhere. And what oil companies are you suing? You know, that none of them have any permits. They just stopped all permitting for liquefied natural gas. All permitting is stopped. So, you know, that just makes Russia money. Because Russia has no problem shipping liquefied natural gas to anybody who wants it. We used to have contracts with Europe. We were the number one supplier of NLG. So because Biden stopped it, are the people over in Europe, are they supposed to freeze to death or starve to death? Because they rely very heavily on the LNG. Russia's saying, oh, no, we got plenty. We'll send it to you. So eventually the people in Europe are going to embrace Russia. And you see that they're losing, the Ukrainians are losing the war in Ukraine, right? They just lost a whole city back to Russia. And they're saying, oh, they come out with this thing that they're trying to scare us. Russia has outer space weapons that are nuclear satellites. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we knew that. We've known it since Reagan. That was Reagan's Star Wars. And remember, Obama even stopped our space program, and we were relying on the Russians to get to the space station.
Mm-hmm.
So of course they got nuclear in outer space. There's no gas stations in space. How do you think these rockets operate? You know.
Hey, I want to play a clip for you that that Vito sent me yesterday. I figured, let me go ahead and play this.
There's four
families that have controlled California for 80 years.
Okay.
Which is why California is where it is. So I'm going to play this real quick, Joanne. I want to see what you think.
Sure, go ahead.
Pat Brown's father, Edmund Joseph Brown, was known for running scams and gambling operations in San Francisco. With the help of businessman William Newsom II, Pat Brown became governor of California for two terms. During his governorship, he awarded the Squaw Valley concession contract to William Newsom III and his partner, John Pelosi. The deal was criticized for the state of California paying for everything and getting nothing. William Newsom III grew up with the governor's son, Jerry, who was training to be a Jesuit priest. John Pelosi's son, Paul, married Nancy D'Alessandro, daughter of Thomas D'Alessandro Jr., who was known for smuggling heroin into the U.S. with Lucky Luciano and the Baltimore Mafia. John Pelosi's son, Ron, married William Newsom's daughter, Barbara. Over ongoing disputes about the Squaw Valley concession, William Newsom Sr. threatened to hurt the governor politically, just as Governor Brown was running for a third term against Ronald Reagan. He lost. But 8 years later, the former governor's Jesuit son, Jerry, reclaimed the governorship in 1974. He appointed William Newsom III to a Placer County judgeship in 1975, and 3 years later to the State Court of Appeal. William Newsom was an attorney for oil magnate J. Paul Getty, named in the 1966 Guinness Book of World Records as the world's richest private citizen. And while serving on the appellate bench in the 1980s, he helped Getty's son, Gordon, secure a change in state trust law that allowed him to claim his share of a multi-heir trust. After Newsom retired from the bench, he became administrator of the Getty Trust and provided seed money for his son, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi's nephew, to start the Plump Jack business that led to a career in San Francisco politics as mayor of San Francisco and lieutenant governor of the state of California. Gavin Newsom was informally adopted by the Gettys after his parents divorced. And recently succeeded family friend Jerry Brown to be the current governor of California. For 80 years, these four families have ruled over the state of California politically. And with the help of Kamala Harris, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, and Dianne Feinstein, California's uncontrollable state government spending has amounted to over $2 trillion in debt and the highest tax rates in the country. The homelessness...
All right, so...
Wow. That's quite a bit of history. I remember Jerry Brown. I remember he was married to Linda Ronstadt. Yeah, that's interesting information. They own California, huh? Very incestuous.
And I remember the Getty gas stations. I always wondered why they were never out west.
J. Paul Getty, him and his brother, started with a junkyard. They built they cannibalized cars. And they built a car, mm-hmm. And then they said, well, you know, if we can get the parts off this car and fix other cars with them, we should buy all the broken cars and then use them to fix other broken cars. And that's how they got their start. They started with just buying and selling junk parts off of broken cars. And then they were self-made, the Gettys. They made lots of money. They, in the energy industry, they bought oil companies and... Yeah. They were up there with Standard Oil, as a matter of fact, the Bushes. Very incestuous groups, huh? It's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
That was good. Thank you, Vito, for sending us that. Are you going to play that video with the woman who's really upset? You said you were going to play it tonight.
I didn't even put that on here, but yeah, I could play that. I'll just play that straight from my computer. That's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. This is about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I became friends with her on Twitter. She's legit.
Did you?
Yeah.
When did you become friends with her?
A little over a week ago when I first saw it. The first time I saw it was, what the heck is his name? Brendan Dilley had it. And he was asking who she was and, you know, see if we could find her. And then she contacted him on Twitter. I was watching the whole thing go down. And he said that he was going to take her as a VIP to a Trump event. I don't know if she ever went, but I just followed her on Twitter and, you know, talked to her and said, are you serious? And she said, that's legit, because she is a comedian. She's actually a Christian comedian. Go ahead, play it when you're ready.
Well, if you have contact with her, see if she'll come on next Wednesday.
I'll see if she'll be interested in getting on the show. That'd be nice.
All right,
I'll
hit it. All right, let me play. You're so damn desperate. You want a woman in
the house. The audio quality's bad.
Everybody was so desperate to put a black woman, which she ain't black, as vice president. And now the whole country. The whole country. How did you bring in all these illegals and don't know how to vote? Because the dad folks voting didn't work. We didn't come on to that. And now y'all can take all them children out of school. Why the fuck did y'all choose Chicago? So now most of them children are black children got to sit at home because y'all getting on my motherfucking nerves. Y'all should have been doing this to mostly minority black children. But Trump the racist. No, you're not racist. I'm just sick of this for real. I'm dead serious. Y'all better sit down. Parents, all those black people that farm and keep the goddamn school open, they sure got to sit the fuck at home, and they got to figure out what the fuck they're doing. How the fuck they're supposed to work. I'm telling you, Joe and O, y'all got to fucking go. I'm fixing to march up the United States government. I'm for real. I'm for real. I'm fixing to join Trump because ain't no way, ho. Ain't no way.
But the white liberals don't see it yet. The
no.
White liberals still, they're okay. Because it has
the audio quality
yet.
Was really bad on that, but that woman was flipping out about how they're putting the illegals in the school and the kids have to stay home and the parents don't even know what to do. You know, you didn't even tell them that they had to make arrangements to take care of the kids while they're working because you decided that you're going to close down the school and let the illegals in. She's furious, and she's not the only one. But you see what they're doing to the black people. The Democrats are so bad to black people. They're loading up their communities with illegals. They are using these people. Even, like I said, Fannie Willis and Letitia Brown, when the chips hit the fan, you know those cases are going to get thrown out eventually. Maybe not right away, but they're going to get thrown out. And who's going to be standing there holding the bag and acting and looking stupid? Those black people. Not the people that put them up to it. You know, the governor, the white governor, she's not in any kind of trouble. But that Letitia James, you know, she's going to be a laughing stock. And so is Fannie Willis. And her dumb boyfriend there, Nathan Wade, they just put the black people out there and let them be standing there holding the bag. They do it all the time. And that school that they took over to put the illegals in, that's a predominantly black school in a black neighborhood. And the recreation center that they took over in Boston to put the illegals in. That's in a predominantly black neighborhood. They're not putting them in Martha's Vineyard. They're not putting them in Newton and Wellesley. No, those are nice white liberal areas. They're not putting the illegals in there. You know, they look at what happened in New York. They got this building. Oh, no, Chicago. They had this building. It's been empty for 10 years. It was supposed to be luxury apartments for people in the community. And the developer went broke, so this building sat empty for 10 years. The city didn't know what to do with it. Oh, it's New York because Adams had to go down and calm the people down. The black people, they see bunk beds being delivered. And they said, what's going on with this building? And they said, oh, we're going to house the illegals here. And the community was in an uproar. And they all marched down at City Hall. And finally Adams said, no, that's going to be for the community. We're going to put homeless people in our community there. He never said homeless Americans. He said homeless people in our community, which would still cover the illegals. But he was double-speaking them. And they fell for it. You know, they're going to get apartments now for the people who have been waiting, like on Section 8 lists from the neighborhood and who are living with their parents and stuff, waiting for a place to open up so that they can afford housing. It's not going to be for them. But the black people, they're standing there holding the bag again, and they're going to vote Democrat again if we don't keep showing them this stuff and telling them we got to stick together. We need each other. Stop fighting this black-white shit. Can't do that anymore. Look what's going on at that border. Look who's replacing us. We're Americans. We're all Americans. And we better start acting like it because the non-Americans are overtaking us. You know, Trump says there's going to be 18 million people here by the time he gets back in office. And that's the one that we know about. That's a big army, especially when we know they're mostly men. And men that are fleeing and going to a better place, they bring their family with them. These people are not bringing their families. They're leaving their families behind. That tells you they're going to war. And, you know, today they had a whole bunch of people that were from Afghanistan, and they said, what brings you here? And they said, we're fleeing the Taliban. You know, we don't know if they are Taliban. They're taking over sections of airports and housing people in there, housing people in police stations. And then you got this Adams, Mayor Adams, he's crying for more money. We need more this, more that. First of all, send them back. They're doing nothing but causing problems in New York. You got full-grown men hanging around 24 hours a day. They're not working. They're living off the money that they're getting, you know, these stipends and these cards. They're not paying for anything. They're not paying for their hotels, their meals, their laundry, none of that. But they're still out robbing and pillaging and fighting and hurting the people in the community, beating up little old ladies, dragging them on the sidewalk, stealing their purses, breaking into, you know, just walking in the stores and taking merchandise. And then pulling guns on cops. Would that 15-year-old boy get a gun? Poor refugees, and we got to welcome them in because they're downtrodden. And they're robbing people in Times Square with a gun. He's 15. Where'd they get the gun?
And not only that, but you have the white liberals that are defending it.
Yeah. And then you got Biden comes out and tells you, make slaves out of them. You know, you could have these people in your house, and they'll cook for you, and they'll do your laundry, and they'll pick your crops and let them in. That sounds like slavery to me. You bring these people into your home, and you make them work, and you're the one that gets paid. They're going to pay you to bring these people in and put them to work. That sounds like slavery to me, that white liberal couple that said that they brought the Haitian couple with the kid in.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, I feel like I have my own personal chef. Yeah, so she's making this woman cook for her. And I'm sure she's cleaning, too. But this white liberal woman's getting money from the government for bringing them in. So not only is she getting all her chores done, she's making money off it. That sounds like slavery to me. The Haitian lady gets to work and the white lady gets the check. That's slavery, right?
Normally, unless it's a liberal saying it, then it's giving them freedom.
Oh, it's giving them freedom. Yeah, it sounds more like it's into servitude.
Right.
Yeah, they're loving and liberal. Oh, I feel like I have my own chef. I wanted to puke. And, you know, that could turn around on that liberal couple, too. Because if that Haitian couple get in an argument with the liberal couple and call the cops got to come down to separate everybody. They're not going to throw the illegals out. The illegals are residents there. You get that's their address, and they pay rent there. Or somebody's paying rent for them there.
Mm-hmm.
So the liberal couple, they're known in the community and they have other property, they'll make that liberal couple leave that house until it's all set it out in civil court. That could take 2 years to get them out, if at all. In the meantime, you've been displaced out of your home now with a restraining order not to go back there. And, of course, if you're thrown out of the house, why is the government going to pay you rent? So the government, you know, will stop paying the rent. And it's only a six-month stipend anyhow. Mm-hmm. They're only going to pay the rent for 6 months. So what happens on the seventh month? It takes 3 months of not getting paid rent to even apply for an eviction. Then you got to wait for a court date. And if the people say, well, we're going to contest that, that could take even longer. Really stupid. I wouldn't do it. You got too much to lose. Oh, well. The Kansas City shooting, too. The gun was a stolen gun. So when Biden come out and he wants his assault weapons banned, first of all, it was a handgun. And he wants to ban long guns. And the gun was stolen. So no gun law would have stopped that situation. And what does anybody think? They're not going to obey the gun laws we have now. So the next gun law, they're going to obey that one, right? It's like we were just talking about Schumer. He's really going to do it this time. He promised this time. He's been there 40 years and hasn't done it. But right. So all these laws that we have, we don't need any more laws. We got enough laws. We got laws for everything, and we don't, you know, we call these people lawmakers. Well, every day they want to make more and more laws, and they want to put all these laws in all these monstrous bills they have. Lay off with the laws. Everything's criminal. You could break three laws going to the mailbox to check your mail.
Mm-hmm.
So something you've done is against the law. If everything's illegal, nothing's illegal. You make too many laws, nobody's going to obey any of the laws. Why would they? And look at these illegals. They're not obeying any of the laws. Actually, we're disobeying the laws for them. They're not even supposed to be here. So, you know, that's the first law they broke. It was coming across that border without a visa. And then you expect them to obey the laws. They don't even know what laws we have. You know, the laws in this country might be different from the laws in their former countries, in their home countries. And instead of giving away all this money to those home countries, we should be charging them per head for their residents being here. And all these Chinese people that are here, and a lot of the other countries too, but China specifically, they're not going to take those 33,000 people back. What do you do with them? Where are you going to deport them? Deport them where? China won't take them back. Trump could get them back, but Biden's certainly not going to do it. Trump will say, okay, well, I'm going to charge you for it, and I'm going to put tariffs on all your stuff you want to send into this country, unless you take them back. And China will decide whether it's worth it for them to take them back or not. You take them back, or you take the tariffs. That's how Trump would do it. But Biden's certainly not going to do that. He'll say, oh, they said no, so we'll keep them. And you know they got to be working for China. 33,000 people don't just get up and walk out of China unnoticed. China sent them. And like I said, they're probably broken branches. Those Chinese men are probably better off here with the aspect of trying to find a bride, because they're not going to find one in China. There aren't enough women over there for men to have girlfriends and wives and babies and stuff. There's 10 million too many. And that was a while ago. There's probably more of them now. You know, that one child policy. Mm-hmm. They thought they had too many people. Now they got too many men and not enough women. But, you know, they're not coming over here and not going to be in touch with China. And we know we got police stations here, so I'm sure somebody's monitoring them. And some of them are wearing tactical gear. They're all carrying the same backpack, you know, the same brand, like they're a government-issued backpack. Mm-hmm. They're all wearing the same shoes. Where'd those come from? And how did they get here? They had to leave China somehow, whether it was by boat or by plane. They did not walk here.
They took a bus. They took a bus.
No, they didn't take a bus across the Pacific. So someone's flying them here, or flying them to intermediate area. But yeah, they are being bussed. They got buses all up and down that route from one country to another. Somebody's supplying those buses. And here's these poor refugees coming looking for jobs, and there's no jobs in their country. So you're saying it costs $5,000 each for them to come here. Who's paying the $5,000? Because those people don't have $5,000. If they're so broke and they don't have jobs and they're coming here for economic reasons, they don't have $5,000. So who's...
Well, now they're giving them $10,000 to go to New York. I guess they're not broke enough.
Yeah, well, when they get here. But who's...
Yeah.
You know, they might be giving them $10,000 when they get here. But are those people really keeping their $10,000, or do they got to turn it over to someone? You know,
yeah,
George Soros puts up the $5,000 to get them here, and then when they get the $10,000, do they got to give them $5,000 back out of it, or the whole $10,000 to pay off the debt? Because you know, Soros doesn't do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
That man has put out trillions of dollars. He's only a billionaire. So he's getting that money back and then using it again and then getting more money back and using it again. He's got quite a racket going. And I don't think he's as much in charge as he was. His son, Alex, is who he turned over his throne to. And that kid is stupid. He's not as smart as his father, but he is twice as ruthless. He thinks he's all that. You know, he thinks that he's a god unto himself. He's like his father in that respect. But he's not as smart as the father. The father was educated in old Europe and knows a lot. Mm-hmm. But that kid was educated at Berkeley. So he only knows liberal stuff. And now he's seeing Huma Abedin, which is telling us another story, too, that Hillary's making her move. She's got John Podesta in the White House as the new climate czar, which is not a cabinet position, and it's not confirmed by the Senate. So that isn't even a position that should exist. But John Podesta's in the White House now controlling Biden. That's Hillary's boy. Huma Abedin is now dating Alex Soros. That's Hillary's sugar daddy and her little girl Friday. That's Hillary's fling. And they're both gay. Alex and Huma. So that's telling us Hillary's making her move. Hillary's letting us know she's conquered that White House. And she knows all Biden's secret. Biden isn't going to say anything. Biden probably doesn't even realize it. But you know there's a fight at the top. Because I'm sure that Obama and Hillary are still hate each other.
Oh, absolutely.
But they've been forced to work together for the common goal. They're both taking Soros money. And Valerie Jarrett despises Hillary. Actually, John Podesta despises her too, but he's beholden to her. He's a creep and a half.
Well, she pays good, I guess.
Oh, yeah. The money's good. And you cooperate or die. You know, she's got quite the body count going on. And Obama got a body count going on, too.
But let me ask you this, Joanne. Because that pronoun is getting back into the game, does that signal that Big Mike is not interested because those two won't work together?
Oh, yeah, they're not going to work together. Big Mike despises Hillary worse than her husband does. No, but they're trying to sweeten the pot. They keep telling us that they're trying to shove Michelle into it. She hated being in the White House. She hates politics. She hates the people involved in politics. She doesn't like any one of the people surrounding her. She spends as little time in D.C. as she can. And she spends as little time as she can with Obama, too. I think she likes her life right now. And
well,
to be
is a
thrown
nice lady,
into,
I'll give him that.
And to be thrown back into the limelight, especially at the top of the ticket, that would be the only way they could get rid of Kamala. Because even though they hate the black people, Democrats always have. They fought against ending slavery. They fought against, desegregating the schools. They fought hard, too. Had a whole civil war over it. They haven't gotten over it. They don't like black people, but they use black people, and they manipulate black people. And that started with Lyndon Johnson and with breaking up the families and starting the welfare program. He said he'd have those black people voting for them for 100 years. So they're just using them. And now they're destroying their communities. They're taking whatever resources there were for the black community and just handing it over to the illegals. So the black people are on their own now. I don't know why they would vote for a Democrat, especially seeing what the Democrats are doing to them. And, things like, oh, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Who the hell is he? They said that, oh, white supremacy is the biggest threat. Yeah, he's the biggest white supremacist. And all those Democrats are. And then they get the useful idiots like Fannie Willis and Letitia James and all those other clowns.
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, Stacey Abrams. And that's just to suck of the black community in. Oh, no, look, the Democrats, they're fine. They're good to me. No, they're not good to you. They're using you. They used Stacey Abrams, too. They made a big deal out of her, a big deal out of the election. And then when it didn't pan out, they just kicked her to the curb. She probably couldn't get a cup of coffee out of them right now.
Yeah, you don't hear her name anywhere.
Yeah, her usefulness is gone, so they're done with her. And Fannie Willis, she showed that she's not smart. She doesn't belong in the position she's in. She had no business bringing those RICO charges against Trump. She doesn't even understand RICO charges and how she could be charged with RICO crimes, because she's definitely in a conspiracy. And that idiot boyfriend of hers never even tried a case. and you're going to put him, you're going to have him prosecute, not just Trump, but that other guy they're prosecuting, and Giuliani and Sidney Powell. Giuliani wrote the RICO laws. That clown probably can't even spell RICO. So they're just being used. They know the case is going nowhere. They know it's unconstitutional. They know it's election interference. And right now it's in the lower courts. But once it gets up to the higher courts, somebody's got to be reasonable up there. I mean, these people are in positions of authority. They didn't get there by being stupid. But that Fannie Willis, she rolled all over herself. She was saying she kept leftover campaign money. She's telling people she got wads of cash in her house. Where'd you get the wads of cash? You don't make that kind of money. Where'd you get the cash? Who's paying you cash? What an idiot she is.
But let me ask you, though, Joanne, they're not just going to drop the case. They're going to put another prosecutor on Trump, right? They're not going to just declare a mistrial.
Well, I don't even know if she's going to get thrown off the case. The judge that's deciding it, the judge that just let her go on that rant and take over his court,
yeah,
he donated to her campaign. That come out today. There's all kinds of impropriety there. That judge has to go, too. They're all in cahoots. And, yeah, you know, that's okay in the small little southern place. But you take that out into the higher courts, and then they have a reputation that's going to last long after Fannie Willis is just a blur. You know, they got to have some integrity somewhere.
I don't know about that, but...
And that Jack Smith, he's a loser from way back, but he's doing exactly what he was trained to do. You bring all these crazy charges, you get them in front of the courts, and you just keep filing motions. And you do that until you burn everybody out. You're not going to win the case. You were never going to win the case. Winning wasn't the goal. Being a royal pain in the ass and interfering in the election, that was the goal. He's not going to win that case.
But how come these people can't get sued by Trump after they lose?
I don't know. I don't know if they can. He might be able to sue some of them. But those are the public defenders and stuff. You know, it's like suing the governor. How are you going to sue? You can't sue the governor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there's any recourse he can take. I'm sure you can sue the government. But it's going to take a lot of brain power. And, you know, they pretty much insulate themselves and immunize themselves. But none of the cases are going to go anywhere. Every one of them is going to end up being dismissed or reversed or thrown out because they're all bogus from the beginning. And Fannie Willis proved to the world that she is certainly not qualified to bring a case of this caliber. So winning the case is not the goal. Interfering in the election is the goal.
Right.
Because they're not going to win. None of them are going to win. And people are getting furious at it. This is all theater.
Well.
And they sucked those black chicks into doing it again, and that dumbass boyfriend of hers sucked right in. Yeah, the money looks good, but what are you going to do for the rest of your life? This is a one and done for you, honey. Nice knowing you.
Yeah. Speaking of nice knowing you, it's about that time, Joanne.
All right, well, good night, Freedomizers. I love you all. I'll see you next week. Thank you, Daphne, for calling in and being our guest. That was very, very enjoyable and proof. I'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Joanne, for being here tonight, and we'll talk next week as always. Everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It is not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative. And I am Ooch.